and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Left or right,
we are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. We're still putting our show together here as we speak. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host. Today is Sunday, July 10th, 2016, and we will have Chris Ann Hall on the show at 10 o'clock, I believe. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark and Linda.
Good morning.
And we're missing Red Smith, who's was on the blended glide path, and I'm not going to go through that whole thing today, but...
he jumped off the glide path.
I think he jumped off the blended glide path into a swimming hole somewhere, so we're not sure where he's at, but if he's listening, we're wondering where you're at, Red.
Kind of.
Maybe not. Okay, so I'm sure he's having fun with the kids or something.
Send us a smoke signal.
Anyway,
that may not be good.
I spent the last couple days up in Oregon in the tree houses, and that was kind of interesting. 2 days with three kids in a treehouse. Yeah. We learned, taught them a new game called Bombs Away.
Okay.
When you're up, there's two floors to the treehouse, and you're up in the top floor, and kids are down there doing something on the bottom floor. It's amazing how much stuff you can hit them with from the balcony. You know, me and Lily were bombs away. It was funny.
They're like water balloons?
Oh, we were just diapers. We put on the diapers. We're the diaper brigade. Not used ones, but you know, you put the clean diapers on your head, and then you bombs away stuff. Anyway, never mind. Get that out of your head.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. It's all lies. So anyway... Reading Patriot meets Patriots meet every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 3276 Pacelli Lane. I believe Tom Basanko is going to be there.
That's correct.
This Monday, and talking about the gun laws that, man, I'll tell you, things are so out of control. I got up this morning, and I just looked at the news, and gosh, are you tired of this crap? Have we had enough yet? It looks like we're going to get a lot more of this before.
Yep, it's not over
it's
yet,
over.
Folks.
Yeah, I got Raleigh Sally's words of wisdom for Sunday. Very appropriate. When the law no longer protects you from the corrupt, but protects the corrupt from you, you know your nation is doomed, Ayn Rand. I mean, and it's so... corrupt. Anybody who can't see how bad it is right now.
It's so blatant with everything that's going on, and then you got our, I don't even know what to call him anymore, so-called president. This opening his mouth that just...
Oh, baloney.
It's like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even stand to listen to the guy anymore, because everything that comes out of his mouth is just pure BS. I mean, anybody who listens to that and thinks that there's any truth at all, and I mean, it's all twisted truth, half-truth, lies. You know, it's just to the point where it's unbelievable. Oh, we're not a divided nation, but, it's okay that we, talk about the black guys getting killed, the two black guys that got killed, but we won't talk about, five or so white officers that got killed.
Yeah, we were divided before, but we're not divided now.
It's just sickening anymore.
It is.
And so, you know, it's, what do you say? We've got a couple clips that we're going to play here. Go ahead and play that NRA clip, Bob, if you can get it up there. And then I'm going to get the Dennis Michael Lynch one out
here. I'm looking for that one, too.
If I can find it here.
Yeah, buried here. But
well, it's, and then that Dick Morris clip's kind of good, too. We should play that as well. So I'll try to get these things put together. But if anytime you're ready, Bob, go ahead and... If you can make it happen.
Yep, here's the NRA clip.
All right, very good.
Nothing illustrates America's breakdown like the way the president's hometown celebrates its holidays. Memorial Day, 12 dead, 56 wounded. The 4th of July, 10 dead, 53 wounded. Labor Day, 9 dead, 46 wounded. This kind of third world carnage has become absolutely normal. If the president held a press conference every time multiple people were murdered by criminal gangbangers with illegal guns in Chicago, we'd hear from him almost every day. Instead, he says nothing. And the untold secret in Washington is that he has all the laws he needs to stop the bloodshed now. Under the existing federal gun laws, he could take every felon with a gun, drug dealer with a gun, and criminal gangbanger with a gun off the streets tomorrow and lock him up for 5 years or more. But he won't do it. His Justice Department won't do it. And the media never ask why. So convicted gangbangers carry illegal guns because they fear rival gangs more than they fear being prosecuted for a gun charge. Every police officer on the streets in cities like Chicago, Baltimore, and Detroit knows what it's like to get called to a murder scene, knowing full well who did it, because the killer was in the back of their car yesterday or last week. Thugs like Darius Brown, who was supposed to be serving a 10-year sentence for second-degree felony robbery, but got let off with 5 years probation. So he was free to roam the streets and kill a 9-year-old girl while she was doing her homework. If you want to stop violent crime, and I know you do, take violent criminals off the street. Prosecute them under the current federal gun laws and make sure they don't get to their next crime scene. That's the way to save lives. If the president held a press conference tomorrow morning and directed every federal jurisdiction to round up every felon with a gun, drug dealer with a gun, and criminal gangbanger with a gun, law enforcement would have thousands of violent thugs in handcuffs and squad cars by sundown. Instead, he waits for a crime that fits his agenda and blames the NRA. Mr. President, we will not accept blame for your failure. The NRA has demanded the strongest possible prosecution of the federal gun laws for over 20 years. Our repeated calls have been met by deafening silence from the Washington elites. President Obama and Hillary Clinton and other politicians used the carnage to campaign for more gun laws. They won't and don't enforce. And the good, honest Americans living out in farm towns in Nebraska or Oklahoma, or working two jobs in inner city Chicago or Baltimore. People who keep their heads down, raise their kids, and just try to do the right thing, they see through it all. We've lived through the Clinton administration's utter lack of federal gun prosecutions, and the Obama administration is following suit while the country suffers. And we know that a second Clinton administration will just mean more the same. Americans have no tolerance for violent thugs, no tolerance for the politicians who enable them, and no tolerance for a media that devotes endless time to new gun laws, but won't even ask why we don't enforce the existing federal gun laws we already have. No organization has been louder, clearer, or more consistent on the urgent need to enforce the federal gun laws than the NRA. And in the face of mounting political and media pressure, to demean, shame, and silence us, we will fight. If you have had enough of the dishonest debate, if you're sick and tired of politicians blaming you and your guns for their failure, demand truth and justice. Stand and fight with the NRA.
Well, there you have it. We're trying to pull some other clips together here. We're having some problems. But, yeah, I mean, that's really what we're talking about here is this administration. Look at the lies, the deceptions, the corruption, this whole thing with Hillary Clinton. You know,
one thing after another. I mean, it's going clear back. You know what I mean?
Does anybody else kind of find it funny that every time something like this, you know, thing with Hillary happens, we have a shooting or... You know, I mean, I guess that it's just good timing. I don't know. I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy. And it doesn't stop. And it's not going to stop, in my opinion. Right. You know, it's just getting crazier and crazier out there. And unfortunately, there's innocent people that are getting caught.
Well, let's go to a break, Bob, so we can kind of regroup here and get our other stuff together here. And
if you want to call in and there's something you want to talk about or discuss, that would be great. The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead them with the words of a sad country song. Heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are unseen, sadly in search of one step and back of themselves and their slow proven dreams.
Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today, 338-2112.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Redding at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. The man who died, who gave that right to me, and I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
we're back.
We're back.
I guess that's, we're having all kinds of technical difficulty today.
There's gremlins in the studio. But I believe we have a caller on the line this morning, don't we, Bob?
We have Dick on line one.
Good morning, Dick.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing today, Dick?
Hey, you know, last Tuesday on July 5th, I wrote a letter to the editor, and they haven't printed it. I was mostly being sort of cynical over the Hillary Clinton FBI fiasco. Is it okay if I read it? It's pretty short.
Sure, go ahead. Why not?
Hey, folks, don't worry about the new restrictive gun laws such as high-capacity magazines, assault rifles, lead ammo, ammo purchase, and any other law, etc. You now have the Hillary Clinton law established by the FBI. You may now claim that you, quote, didn't intend to break the law, end of quote, or you, quote, made a mistake, and all will be forgiven. If you should be arrested on a trumped-up weapons charge, arrange a private meeting with the district attorney or the case judge and make an offer that can't be refused. Does anybody know the definition of corruption? Isn't this a great country or what? That's it. That's what I wrote. I was kind of being cynical over the FBI fiasco with Hillary Clinton. It was sort of a disturbing.
Well, it is disturbing, and when you listen to Comey, he lays out the whole case why she should actually be indicted, and then says he's not going to refer anybody to the he's not going to refer the case to the Justice Department for to be indicted. Now there's new information coming in on this, and so stay tuned. It could get even more interesting. But then everything was kind of wiped out by the shooting over, right after that. So,
You almost think those things are planned.
It's hard not to think that because, the timing was sure spot on. So,
they always have one just at the right time to cover up something that's going on.
Yeah. So it's interesting. But the thing that's coming out is that now that Congress is involved and they got direct testimony under oath from her, because the FBI didn't take the testimony under oath. Now they got a referral, and so it's just I got to go through this a little more to kind of sort it out. But it's crazy. Comey, and I'm going to read this. This is another theory. Comey is not a stupid guy. He may have been directed to take a fall with his Hillary announcement. We know that Loretta didn't want this thrown onto her desk to preside over, even though the FBI has no authority to make decisions whether or not to prosecute the crimes. They only investigate, and the Justice Department decides that. However, he did do something out of the ordinary, lay out and disclose all of his evidence during this press conference. He knew what he was doing, and he knew that would create a firestorm of controversy. If he had just sent everything to the AG Lynch, it might have all gotten buried or at least not disclosed until long after the election. Instead, he threw it out there for the public to know. He also knew that it would cause Congress to call for an investigation, so he was not just able to go and answer the. Now he will not just be able to go and answer their questions, which he did. He made himself available almost instantly, full well knowing that they would want to dig even deeper. So, it could be that Comey knew that this was the way of the FBI's entire case getting a full public airing, and I don't know. Maybe he's laying it out there to protect himself from being impeached and getting it out into the public where it would just be buried if he hadn't. Because if he referred it to Lynch.
Yeah, that thing you just read, I forwarded that to you, remember.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
It came from a Navy buddy.
Well, so it's hard to say exactly what's going on here. The biggest problem that we have. Oh yeah, he's here at the top. This is I'm looking at the one that I got from Sally. So she forwarded it from you, evidently, and that's the one I'm reading. But it's hard to get to the truth on anything anymore because there's so much lies, there's so many deceptions, there's so many things that you can't verify that. So who knows? But what we did get out of this whole thing is it's pretty obvious that Hillary is a crook, and that it's pretty obvious that Hillary lied under oath and lied to the FBI and has lied to the American people over and over again. You know, you're finding out I've heard that there's like 12 servers now.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
You mean Hillary lied? Oh, what a surprise. Nobody knew that.
I know you're shocked. I know you're shocked, Dick.
Okay.
All right, thanks,
All right,
Dick.
Thanks for the call.
Come on, Dick.
All right, very good. We got somebody else on the line, or
no? I just noticed the link that you sent me for this video on Facebook is saying sorry, this page isn't available. The link may be broken, or the page may have been removed. I'm guessing it was removed.
I'm pretty sure it was removed. We're going to dig and see if we can find this Dennis Michael Lynch thing because he just absolutely did sizzling. Rebuke of Obama on this whole thing. So
yeah, he lays it out pretty good.
And we're going to find the video and get it up here if it's possible. But
we're digging.
It's just crazy.
Apparently Zuckerberg was not pleased.
Well, Zuckerberg's, should have been named Zuckerberg because, he's an absolute, shill at this point. I mean, they pull a page off of Facebook that shows a Marine veteran with no legs saluting, and one arm gone, and they say that's offensive. But you can put videos on there of any kind of Muslim activity, and that's just fine. You don't want to offend them.
Yep.
So, I don't know. We're going to keep digging on this.
Yeah, we'll keep looking. But meanwhile, I was going to remind people that tomorrow is actually the drawing the gun drawing for the guns that we have to help support our programs here.
Okay.
We're doing it tomorrow night at the Patriot meeting at 6 p.m. I do have some tickets left. This is you can win three guns here. So if you buy only three tickets, your chances are you could win all three of them and help support us anyway. So with still some tickets, I'll be there tomorrow night. For the people that have previously bought tickets and they were wondering if they had to be present, no, you do not have to be present to win. I do have your name and number. We will call you. Make it a little difficult if you're the first one that I draw because to get the pick of the litter, we can try calling you. But so anyhow, the tickets are $20 a piece. For $100, you get 11 tickets. For $200, you get 30. So, I mean, your chances of winning are really good. And if you don't like the guns that we have, you can always go to Mr. Jones and ask him to put it towards something else or swap it out. He's very good about that. So, like I say.
I'm looking at this video with this Dennis Michael Lynch that we can't seem to pull up for whatever reason. It had 1.2 million views.
Imagine that. And now we can't find it.
And now we can't seem to locate it here.
Also, remember that the movie Vaxxed is on for another week. So from 7/7 to 7/14, it will be showing down at Anderson Theaters again. So if you haven't seen it or if you know somebody that hasn't seen it, or even to watch it again, it's pretty eye-opening about the vaccines and what really goes on with that. Again, it's going to play to the 14th, and then they're going to have a special showing and program at the Cascade on August 5th. So I believe there's going to be some of the producers and the doctor in the house to answer questions about that film. Still having problems over there, huh?
No, we're just working on it away while you're talking. But
okay. Then we got Camp for Life coming up. I'll get all the announcements out here. Camp for Life is August 5th through August 13th. Camp for Life is when we're out at the need camp for terminally ill children. Me and a bunch of the ladies and a lot of other people in the community go out there and do activities. We cook for them out there for their families. That's where the children can come and spend the whole week. Free of charge out at the camp, and we provide everything for them, all the activities. Also, it's open to the community during the daytime, so if you want to bring your kids out or grandkids out, you're more than welcome to come out and join us. There's always a bunch of different activities going on out there. So, again, that is August 5th through August 13th. And then I also wanted to put in there that next week we will have on the show, we will have Gavin. Oh, I just lost his last name, Gavin.
See him.
There you go.
I guess that's how it's pronounced. It's S-E-I-M, I think.
Yeah, they will be in town. They also will be at the Patriots meeting that Monday night, the 18th. So
I think I got it, Bob, so I'm sending it.
So stay tuned for that. That ought to be a really good show, too. He nails it on several different things also, so it'd be quite interesting to get his take into what all's going on in the world.
Well, I think I got the video. It's under another title, and it's kind of amazing how many views it got on the Facebook, and I think it's Dennis gives the cold hard truth about Obama and Black Lives Matter, and then it's the full 12-minute segment. The one on Facebook was only about
three minutes,
so we might just try to get to that 3-minute thing, because I got that pulled up, and he's still ranting on that one. It was a good rant, though, because it really hit what should have been hit, so.
Yeah, just telling the truth about what's
there,
going
Bob?
On.
Let's go ahead and play this before we go to the next break, and you'll know what I'm talking about. I don't think we're going to play the whole 12 minutes here, but you'll see what I'm talking about. Go ahead, Bob.
All right, here comes Dennis Michael Lynch.
Tonight, America mourns the loss of five Dallas police officers killed by snipers at a Black Lives Matter protest on Thursday evening. Six other officers were shot and wounded, as so was a civilian. For the next hour, we offer you an array of powerful video, passionate opinions, and insightful expertise. My guests are white, black, Latino, male, and female. But more importantly, they are great Americans. So get ready, because it's all unfiltered. Hello, I'm Dennis Michael Lynch, and I thank you for joining me this evening. Over the past few days, we have experienced so much pain, anger, and death. And so now it's time for the cold, hard truth to hit every American square in the face. How did we get to this day? That's the question we address in the DML report.
Telling me to go. I gotta go.
The suspect stated he wanted to kill white people, especially white officers.
America has a black president. His name is Barack Hussein Obama. We've elected him twice. Our Attorney General Loretta Lynch is a black female. Before her, it was Eric Holder, a black male. America celebrates Black History Month, and Martin Luther King Jr. is remembered with a national holiday. Look at Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, Tiger Woods, Denzel Washington, Oprah Winfrey, Kanye West, Dr. Ben Carson, Colonel Allen West. The list goes on and on. They're all black. They've got huge fan bases of white people. And they are all living the American dream. Many of them came out of poverty. So why are we now stuck in a time where there is a group like Black Lives Matter? I'll tell you why. It's because of this guy.
There are problems across our criminal justice system. There are biases, some conscious and unconscious, that have to be rooted out. I just ask folks to step back and think, what if this happened to somebody in your family?
In the same way Obama has set us back when it comes to the war on terror because he will not recognize Islamic terrorism for what it is, our enemy, Obama has set us back as a nation when it comes to race. For decades, America made so much progress in the race department. The proof on the pudding is we are a country where the majority of its citizens are white, and yet we elected a black man with a Muslim name to president. Not once, but twice. And we did so despite the fact that he had no qualifications or track record to be rewarded with such a job. Listen to what I just played there and what he said. Imagine if it was one of your family members. What a complete disaster he is. His comment, there lies the problem. Our race-baiting president, who has praised Black Lives Matter in the past, who jumps at every opportunity to toss race into the picture. Imagine if it was one of your own. What this guy has never understood is that we are all Americans. Black, white, Latino, Asian. We are all supposed to be one family. When I watched 9/11 down the block, I didn't see blacks and Asians jump out of windows or whites jump out of windows 80 stories high. I watched Americans die at the hands of terror. They were my brothers. They were my sisters. They were Americans, regardless of their race or religion. What doesn't Obama get? It's like any family member. We are going to have our disagreements. We will have our spats. And sometimes, even though violence is never the answer, we physically hurt each other. Sometimes it happens on mistake or because we are too quick to move one way or another. It's called an accident or a tragedy. But it's not hate. It's not bias. The problem is this family, America, has nobody at the top. It has no leadership. Nobody to look to. And only, and worse, the black community has virtually nobody. And so the young blacks in this country are struggling. They are unemployed at alarming rates. They have babies out of wedlock more than any other race in America. They are more of them are on welfare. They're committing more crime. And they're killing themselves for sport, or so it seems, in Chicago. These people are stuck. Damn it, they are stuck in reverse because politicians like Barack Hussein Obama promised them free this and free that. They promised them the world in exchange for a damn vote. But after they get the vote, they abandon them. Obama abandoned his fellow black man just like his father abandoned him. Under the Obama administration, 95% of the wage growth in this country has gone to the top 1%. He has done nothing for the black community. He has done nothing for poverty. He's done nothing for the Latinos. Instead, he's buried the black community with refugees and illegal aliens who come in by busloads and take their damn jobs, making it impossible for the young black guy to find a job. And so it means more drugs and more gangs and more killings. And yes, sometimes the good black kids who are trying not to get caught up in that life are found guilty by association. I get it. I'm not going to deny it. But in many cases, the cops don't know who they can and who they cannot trust because it's gotten so out of control. Obama has pried us apart. And so who is to blame for the hate and the crime and the hurt and the pain? Me? Because I'm white? Forget it. And don't go blaming the cops either. Here's the cold, hard truth. We are where we are because 90% of the black people in this country voted for Obama. And if history repeats itself, which it probably will, they will vote for Hillary Clinton and they're going to get the same damn result. So don't point your finger at me. Don't point your finger at the cops. Point it at yourself and point it at Obama. Stop trusting these people and start trusting the people, your fellow Americans, who want to help stop this crap. Joining me now is a buddy of mine and the chair of Democrats for Trump, Harlan Hill. Also with us is from the Daily Beast. He's a columnist. His name is Barrett Pinter. And also with us here is conservative activist Julio Rivera. I'm sorry, guys. I had no plan of raising my voice or hitting my desk or almost blowing a blood vessel. Harlan, you know me for a long time now.
I do.
I feel like it. I feel like we're buddies.
Yeah.
We're buddies. I hope I have come across the fact that I care just as much as you about the white guy, as I do the Latino guy, as I do that black guy in D.C., Barrett, who I've never met before, but I can tell is just a good man. Am I wrong in my assessment of this president and why this situation is the way it is?
That video is going to go viral because you so clearly articulated something that I have not heard before, which is that he has been a failure as a leader. And then on the statistics, as a leader of this economy and getting us pointed in the right direction, and as a representative for the black community, he has failed. And if we continue on this course, which it looks like we're going to get a repeat of the last 8 years. And so my hats are off. I mean, it's off to you because I have not heard it so well articulated ever.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I'm not looking for kudos.
I'm just saying.
But you know what? I'm actually one of those white guys. I'm actually one of those guys who thought about running for office. I'm one of those guys with the camera who really does give a damn. I've been in South Chicago. I have gone to Detroit. I've gone to places where white guys don't go because they're afraid they're going to get shot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what the truth of the matter is? You walk in there and you don't get shot.
Yeah.
You walk in there and you say, I want to help you. And they say, look at you. Come on. Yeah. And I said, no, really, look, there's nothing up my sleeve. I don't want any drugs. I'm not going to arrest you, nothing. I just want to hear what the problem is.
Yeah.
And you know what I have, and I wish we had the video. We'll play it next week. They tell me, they come in here, the politicians, they get my vote, and they leave. Mm-hmm. Then they also tell me, Julio, that 90% of the crime is committed by 10% of the thugs. Sure. You're telling me a country who could clone this and clone that, we could do all this different crazy stuff, but we can't catch 10% of the bad guys?
Insanity. And you made a great point when you were going on your rant regarding the way these liberals promise everything to them. They take away, they de-incentivize hard work, and they can't get ahead. Every generation that comes here, they can come here dirt poor. You can come here as an immigrant. You could be a Polish Jew or an Irishman or an Italian growing up in a ghetto in New York, you know, 70, 80 years ago. The first generation is going to suffer, but it takes hard work. You can't rely on the entitlement system. The Great Society, unfortunately, it de-incentivized black families staying together, and that's the reason why we're here three generations later.
Okay. Barrett, you heard two white guys and a Latino. I'd rather say to you, you just heard three Americans make our case. What say you?
Yeah, I really couldn't disagree more with what all you guys were saying. Essentially, the idea that blacks and whites in America have been together in this united group of people working equitably for the entirety of our history is just a false. So there's been known segregation and separation and different opportunities that have been given to blacks and white Americans. Right now, what we're seeing with the black community due to Obama being president is that black Americans feel capable and they have the strength to express their frustrations that are deep-held resentments throughout many components of the black community that have been there for a very, very long time. And so what we're seeing right now are people expressing their frustrations. What we also are seeing is that we have a society that allows people to have easy access to handguns and ability to kill individuals and express their frustrations in the worst way possible. And so no matter what kind of peaceful movement you're trying to make, no matter what you do, if just like you said, 10% of the crime is result, like 95% of the crime is coming from 10% of the people. So what that means is like 9 people can be doing the right thing. 9 people can be having a peaceful protest and doing what they want. And there's going to be one person who's going to be able to get his hands on ammunition and guns, is going to inflict a large amount of terror, and that becomes the discussion. So when you combine those two elements of easy accessibility to handguns and a population of Americans who have been oppressed and have not had the opportunity to actually express their grievances, something is going to bubble up. There's more ways that we can address it. But demonizing African Americans or blaming the black community.
Hold on, Barrett. Nobody here said that things have been rosy forever. We know that we have a checkered past in this country between, you know, race relations. I think that it's important for us to talk about this as an important issue. What I just noticed happen is we were all agreeing here in the studio that there is a problem. Let's start talking about solutions. And then we got drawn into a political discussion. This is the wrong thing to happen in this country. We're being broken down into Democrat versus Republican. I posted a piece about this on Facebook and about how, like, we need to come together and we need to reconcile as a group. And what did I hear? I heard Trump. I heard that he's a racist that's dividing this country. He's got nothing to do with this. You know, our checkered past is, it contributes to the current problems we have. But let's talk about real solutions, and I'm not hearing any from right or left.
Yeah, and you know what? They're trying to blame it on Trump. You have Loretta Lynch giving a shout-out to Black Lives Matter. How many times has Al Sharpton visited the White House in an advisory role? A known rabble-rouser, a guy that's created controversy. And look at Tawana Brawley and on the checkered history that he brings. That's not somebody that the White House and President Barack Obama should be associating with. He sent Eric Holder to Ferguson as a sign of solidarity. Hands up, don't shoot was a false narrative. Black Lives Matter is built on a lie.
Barrett, I've only got 10 seconds.
Yeah, so what?
Go ahead. 10 seconds.
So what we're talking about here is like people are demonizing Barack Obama as if he's the only representative of the society, and then you jump and say we can't demonize other people.
Hold on. You guys are going to stay here. We're going to come back.
Well, that's it for that. Interesting discussion, though, and that was a epic rant by Dennis Michael Lynch there, and I think he's right. I mean, and what does the mainstream media do? They all direct this right back at Trump, like Trump's a racist and Trump's this and Trump's that.
It's all Trump's fault.
Yeah, it's like really, there's no political agenda here to keep everybody separated, and you know, don't elect anybody but the Democratic person, Hillary Clinton, who we know is a criminal. And a liar at the very least, but that makes her a criminal because if she lied, I mean, you know, and she's, you know, didn't do any of this for self and, you know, self promotion or self enrichment and
yeah,
you know,
and all the different things that's going on. And you always hear Clinton, Hillary is at the bottom, you know what I mean, of whatever the things that are going on, whether it was Benghazi or, you know.
Take your pick.
Yeah, it goes on, and it's always you hear Hillary's name in there somehow, but she doesn't know anything.
And Trump's a racist, but show me some reasonable information that Trump's a racist. What Trump is an American who's trying to win the presidency so he can fix America. You know, he might be bombastic, he might be egotistical, he might be a womanizer, who knows. He might even be racist, I don't have any idea. But that I haven't seen any evidence of any of that yet, other than smears by the media.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's crazy when you hear him talk. I mean, he wants to unite the country, he wants to make America first. That's all stuff that makes you racist?
Wants to protect us.
Yeah. So anyway, we probably should go to another break here. And I want to get this Dick Morris clip up, too. And we also got Chris Ann Hall at the top of the hour. So we're kind of scrambling this morning to put together a show for you. Because
things just happened. But we do have Chris Ann Hall at the top of the hour. hopefully there's no problem there with everything else going on. But if you have something you want to talk about, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Want to know what State of Jefferson will look like? You decide.
July 23rd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1179 Eager Road in Live Oak at the Church of Glad Tidings.
Join your neighbors for the first Jefferson Formation Assembly. Represent your county. Leave your fingerprints on the free state.
July 23rd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1179 Eager Road in Live Oak at the Church of Glad Tidings. Register now at soj51.net.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Chuck Kenny and Medal of Honor recipient Mike Sprayberry, just returned from their mission in Vietnam to find the remains of those Americans killed in action but are still missing. Topics will include how they went about their mission, what they found, and the future of this. All of this Monday, right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Sovereign Mind Radio. That's Bruce Hornsby. That's for you, Sal. Yeah, we've been scrambling this morning. Kind of got up and didn't really prepare very well for the show, and then we get in here and it's thrown into the arena, and you just fight your way out.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I mean, there's always plenty to talk about.
There's never a shortage of conversation.
Unfortunately.
But intelligent conversation is another thing.
Well, I don't know how to take that, but okay.
Well, speaking of intelligent conversation,
I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that one. I'll just, yeah.
That would be wise.
Not really, but we don't want to blow you off the air, but
okay,
go.
Here we go.
You know?
Anyway, Dick Morris, who I'm not a huge fan of, you know, I got picked this clip up this morning on Facebook, which seems to be where I get most of my information these days, is alternative media, not necessarily Facebook, but you know, on my one Facebook, I have almost 5,000 friends worldwide that post stuff, and you know, you're getting information from all over the globe, other than ABC and NBC and CBS and Fox, you know, who seem to have an agenda these days of not reporting everything correctly, or there's a narrative. You know, it's like I can't even, you know, like O'Reilly comes up with, oh, gee, Obama in a Muslim garb 8 years later. It's like, really? And you're supposed to have the finest investigators in the business. Yep. And, you know, I saw that picture 8 years ago on the internet. And it's like all of a sudden that's like big news. Like, oh, gee, he might be a Muslim. Let's see. Barack Hussein Obama. That was,
where's
your freaking first clue?
Yeah.
Gee, you know, and you know, oh, he goes to a theologian church that, you know, it says that they're Christians, except they just, you know, it's like, you know, the theme of their church is kill Whitey. You know, I mean, really?
Well, he's been a lie ever since he started in this game. You know, it's been one lie after another. I mean, nobody even vetted him. I mean, how did he get in office to start with?
This guy is such a pathological liar. It's unbelievable. But go ahead and play this Dick Morris clip while we still have time before the top of the hour. I think we still have time. And then we'll come back and we've got Chris Ann Hall and then we'll keep going. Okay, go ahead.
Actually, we don't have time.
Oh, we don't have time. So we'll play it after the hour. We'll come back to it. But, you know, it talks about the Hillary Clinton thing and you know, what the mistakes she's made. But, well, we got a couple minutes here. We've also got from Breitbart, confirmed Dallas Shooter was a member of the Houston New Black Panther Party. No, you know, who would have thought that this guy had associations? You know, every one of these guys, it's always the lone gunman, you know.
Yep.
It's always the lone gunman.
Nobody's behind him.
Nobody's behind him. It's like the guy in Florida, you know. There's, you know, they can't find his wife, disappears. No connection to the other guy that says that, hey, they weren't supposed to die, you know, when he's getting ready to attack a gay pride parade in Santa Monica. You know, it's just over and over and over again. It's always the lone gunman. He was all by himself, you know. Only he's a member of the new Black Panther Party. And, Yeah. So
it's never what it seems to appear on regular TV. There's always more to the story.
They never
give you the whole story.
They never give you the whole story. That's exactly right. They cut and paste and clip and, you know, try to figure out how does this fit into the political narrative? You know, how does this fit into the political democratic agenda? How do we keep everybody still divided? And, you know, how do we make sure that, you know, the divide and conquer strategy, you know.
Yeah, how do we keep them busy while we do other things to them?
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's insanity. We got about, a minute to the top of the hour here or whatever.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. I stand corrected. And we'll come back and with more news that nobody else will talk about.
We should have Chris Ann Hall coming on right after the top of the hour. And
we'll get her take.
Yeah, I'm sure she's got a lot of information.
I'm sure she has no shortage of things to say.
Exactly. So, you've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Obama on last week's rash of violence between police and civilians.
I'd like all sides to listen to each other.
Mr. Obama is cutting short a trip to Europe to come home early and begin trying to bring all those sides together.
And that's what we'll hopefully be able to accomplish over the course of the next week and over the course of the remaining months that I'm president.
He'll visit Dallas this week. One of Donald Trump's potential running mates says that women should be the ones to decide whether or not to have abortions. Retired Army Lieutenant General Michael Flynn said on ABC TV's This Week program today that women are the ones who must decide to bring up a child or not. Flynn's statement runs counter to Republican policy that asserts constitutional rights for the unborn. He is one of several people that the presumptive Republican nominee is considering for his running mate. We finally know who won the Australian election.
Australia's Prime Minister has finally claimed victory in the country's national election more than a week after voters went to the polls. Vote counting is still underway from the July 2nd ballot, but Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says his conservative coalition has won the election.
Correspondent Kristen Gelinow. Japanese exit polls say the ruling coalition is headed to victory in the country's parliamentary election. Half of the seats of parliament's less powerful upper house were up for grabs. There was no possibility for a change of power, though, because the ruling coalition controls the more powerful lower house of parliament. California health advocates hope sunshine and a dose of shame might discourage drug makers from raising their prices too fast or introducing new medications at prices that break the bank. They're promoting a bill that would require drug companies to provide advance notice before making big price increases. Pharmaceutical companies oppose the legislation. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Something just happened that has explained why survival food is literally flying off the shelves and has sold out in many areas of the country. It caught me totally by surprise, and it involves FEMA. Revealing FEMA's plot could land me in hot water, but I think you deserve to know exactly what they're doing. I just created a free video presentation at FEMA8.com that exposes the truth. Be warned, it's really disturbing, because the fact is, FEMA must know something we don't. Go to FEMA8.com to see the number one item to hoard and why supplies of this critical item are so low or even completely sold out already at many stores across America. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in recent days. Go to FEMA8.com and discover the number one item most critical in a crisis. Go watch my video now at FEMA8.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's FEMA8.com.
The U.S. is urging Western Balkan countries to intensify efforts to consolidate their democracies. Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland began a Balkan tour in Kosovo today and will follow with visits to Albania, Macedonia, and Serbia. She is encouraging Pristina to further its dialogue with Serbia and also approve a border demarcation with Montenegro, a key step to convince EU countries to let its citizens enjoy visa-free travel. Nuland is calling on Kosovo leaders to strengthen the rule of law and the justice system there. The UK anti-doping agency is sending investigators to Kenya to probe allegations that four British athletes used the banned blood booster EPO in a well-known high-altitude training region, claims it could increase the scope of the problem in the East African nation and show that foreign runners are now going there to take dope. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Potentially toxic algae is expected to appear again this summer in western Lake Erie, but researchers say it won't be as bad as it has been in the past.
After several wet springs, the region's rainfall was more normal this year. That means less phosphorus from farms and sewage treatment plants washing into the lake, feeding the harmful algae. Even so, a bloom of mild to moderate size is expected to form later this month. In 2014, a massive bloom in the Toledo area left more than 400,000 people unable to drink tap water for a few days.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, July the 10th. It's the 192nd day of 2016. There are 174 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1919, President Woodrow Wilson personally delivered the Treaty of Versailles to the Senate and urged its ratification. However, the Senate ultimately rejected the document. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Attention parents! Reading School of the Arts is excited to announce the start of the virtual school for the North State community. This virtual independent study program for Shasta and neighboring counties will include students in grades kindergarten through eighth grade, and it supports immunized and non-immunized families. Redding School of the Arts will offer a superior educational program to meet the following goals: an alternative learning opportunity to traditional brick-and-mortar institutions, a tailored program that meets state standards, outstanding credentialed teachers, enrichment and tutoring on and off campus, and it's all part of a tuition-free public charter school. For more information, visit rsarts.org. That's rsarts.org. Or call us at 530-247-6933. That's 247-6933.
You want to know what State of Jefferson will look like? You decide.
July 23rd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1179 Eager Road in Live Oak at the Church of Glad Tidings.
Join your neighbors for the first Jefferson Formation Assembly. Represent your county. Leave your fingerprints on the free state.
July 23rd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1179 Eager Road in Live Oak at the Church of Glad Tidings. Register now at soj51.net.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to lakeshasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. And we have our first guest, I believe, on the line, Chris Ann Hall, who, you know, I got to say that I'm a huge admirer of her. You know, your constitutional attorney, your constitutional stance, you know, you're a patriot, you know, you believe in the founding documents of our government.
Your passion. Her passion is over the top.
Speaking ability, yeah. All the above. I mean, so I got to say, it's just an honor to have you on the show, Chris Ann. Are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for those kind words.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, you deserve every bit and more. So I'll tell you what, you can't hardly keep up with the news cycle these days because we just jump from one crisis to another, and boy, a lot of them aren't going to waste, are they?
Oh, no. We've got a lot of issues to think about, and they're all basically boiled down to one single issue, I believe, and that's the government putting itself above the law and above the rights of the people. That's the single common denominator for everything that's happening.
Yeah, they're not following the Constitution, and they're setting up a monarchy, a tyranny, if you will. I mean, isn't that I don't remember who said it, but the quote is when the government, you know, no longer follows the law, you know, that it presides over, then you'd have nothing but tyranny.
Yeah, well, and it's not just the federal government either.
All of
them.
It's
trickling down to our local governments, you know. I mean, we have local governments who are creating exceptions to laws and redefining laws and not being held accountable by those laws. And Frederick Bastiat wrote a book called The Law,
yes,
in which he so aptly states that when law and morality collide, society crumbles. Because what happens then is that the people have to choose between their conscience and the law. And when they choose law over conscience, then they sear their conscience and society becomes immoral. But when they choose their conscience over law, then the people as a whole lose respect for the law, and society cannot survive in a lawless state. And that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah. Well, that's right out of the pages of the Machiavelli, the Prince. I mean, the first thing you do is debase everybody's morality so that you can start to control the population through their emotions.
Right, and that's what we are. We have become, since 9/11, we have become a society that is ruled and reigned by fear. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do is based on fear. Our officers, our local officers now fear their neighbors and the local population. The people fear law enforcement. They fear government. Government fears the people. And all of these things have created this negative feedback circle of division, where government creates division amongst the people so that they can maintain their power and authority. Because while we're sitting around bickering between each other based on the color of our skin or our sexual preferences or our religious denominations, government is sitting back and enjoying the fact because a people divided will be easily conquered, not just simply by the enemies without, but also the enemies within.
Absolutely. It's Sun Tzu strategy, divide and conquer. I mean, they seem to be they're very adept at it, you know, and it's disturbing how adept at it they've become over the years of keeping everybody. Go ahead.
They've had centuries of practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you guys have attended one of my history classes, and history of our Constitution that goes back to 1014. That proves that our government acts no differently today than any other government that ever existed. It's the problem is the people have become ignorant of their history, and we cannot reclaim our history. We cannot reclaim our liberty until we reclaim the lessons that we should have been learning throughout history.
Yeah,
them are not getting that these days.
They're getting dumbed down.
Generation is not.
Oh well, you know, you can't blame it on just the current educational system, because I teach all over this country, and I teach 6 to 96, and I have taught adults with PhDs in American history and political science. I have taught Supreme Court justices on a state level and local law enforcement and local legislators. And they all tell me we've never been taught this. This is a plan of depriving people of historical lessons that goes back over 100 years.
Wow.
Well, a wise man once told me, when you're walking in the woods and all the, you know, you're going through the forest and everything is, you know, jumbled, and all of a sudden you walk out and all the trees are planted in rows, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that somebody had a hand in it and it was a planned event. And that's what we're seeing, is that this, I believe this is a big overall scheme for the globalists, it goes all the way to the banking system and the World Bank, if you ask me. I mean, whether you get into the Rothschilds or whatever is not necessarily the issue, as much as that the governments over time, do this to put the people in slavery through tyranny for their own ends.
That's true, and like you said, the players change over the centuries, but the mechanism is always the same. And I think that is the value of the history lesson that I do teach. The history of our Constitution is showing people that these lessons. You know, I talk to people, now that you've learned this history, can you imagine how different America would be today if we were teaching this history throughout the decades? And everybody agrees that if we'd been taught the history that I teach, we would not have the government that we have today. And that same history provides us with the solution to restoring American liberty in the face of our current despotic governments. And I do that say that in plural, because our state and local governments have become just as despotic, and sometimes even more so than the federal government. You know, I was in Utah, and everybody thinks that that's a place where it's a conservative state, liberty prevails. You know, they are openly opposed to the federal government. Yet, in Idaho or in Utah, there are counties where you can't even sell a snow cone without first getting permission from the government to do so. It is against the law to sell anything without seeking permission from the government. That is despotism. That is an oppression of private property rights.
That's insane.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're right. I mean, the education is the problem, and I think that we ourselves have to take accountability, or, you know, to be accountable for that. We have to take it upon ourselves to do our own homework, because we're not being taught the truth. You have to go, like you have done, into the source documents and go into the actual history, not what's being regurgitated or parroted by the system to tell you what they want you to think is the true history.
Well, you know, if people want to have the solutions, and these are not my opinions, these are not my theories, these are the solutions that our framers of our constitutional republic actually wrote down. They wrote down a plan for us on what we should do when government leaps out of its limited and defined box. See, that's the thing. They knew their history, and they knew that history predicted the future. Patrick Henry said, I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided. That's the lamp of experience. I know no way to judge the future but by the past. And I put together a book called Sovereign Duty. And that book, Sovereign Duty, puts those predictions, those plans, and those solutions in the hands of every single person in a layman's terms. So you don't have to be a scholar of the founders to understand the plan in Sovereign Duty. Because that's what I do. I take what they say and I break it down in nuts and bolts and apply it so that we can understand it. And not only that, the Sovereign Duty book will also give you the sources that I used. So every single quote and every single document that I cite within that book is referenced in the back to its original source document. So I lead you to these full text documents. So if you want to make this a study on your own, you can. Because it's, like I said, it's not my privately held information. It's the plan that the framers put in place. We have just lost the ability to know how to apply it.
So that's
what I do. I show you how to apply it.
So, and that's at your website. They can get more information on your website at chrisannhall.com and, you know, get the book and go in there and see what they can do. I mean, I'm at the point where it's just about, hey, I'm not going to comply with these illegal laws. I'm not going to imply with, you know, the California is out of control on the gun thing. I mean, you know, go ahead.
The interesting thing is that it's part of the plan.
Right.
We should have reached the stage of we will not comply about 10 years ago. But we are now coming up, as Jefferson said, it takes a long train of abuses.
Right.
So that evil, he says evil is sufferable as long as it's sufferable. You know, men will suffer evil as long as it's sufferable. And we're reaching the point of insufferability. And when that happens, then we start looking around for solutions. Here's the problem, though, because human nature tendency is always to stand for liberty. And so we have so many people talking about picking up arms and violent revolution, and revolution is the only answer, when in reality, our framers gave their lives so we wouldn't have to fight the kingdom battles of revolution. They gave their lives so that we could employ the plan that I lay out in the Sovereign Duty book. Of peaceful revolution, a revolution of the mind, if you were, to teach the people, hey, step number one, refuse to comply. That's
yep.
it. Because
yep.
if the government is above the laws, then the laws don't apply to you either.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question about it. I totally agree with you on this. And you're right. The people, it has to get uncomfortable. I've been saying this for a long time. You know, until this affects them directly, a lot of them just want to, you know, be left alone and not get involved.
Well, they never think that it's going to affect them, that they're going to be part of something that is bad. You know, whether it's crime or your sovereignty or your freedom. And then they wake up one day and realize, hey, it is affecting me. I am hurting.
Well, you know, and Thomas Paine wrote a whole dissertation on that about the principles of government. And in that, he explains that that's just simply human nature. We rarely think that what is happening to someone else will eventually happen to us. And we're seeing that now.
Mm-hmm.
We had local law enforcement employ a robot with the sole purpose of blowing someone up. Now, you can argue all day long that this man was a terrorist, he had just murdered five people, and that he had given up a certain number of rights. But when we come to a point in society where it is acceptable for the government to employ explosive devices to terminate someone's life, regardless of the crimes that they've committed, then we have reached the point where government is arbitrary and is no longer limited. We now have to enter into the discussion, the very serious discussion of when is it okay for government to blow up people?
Well,
yeah,
and that seems
that
very surreal to me.
I'm glad you brought this up, because that was actually on my list of talking points I wanted to go over, because due process seems to be thrown out the window on that one, you think?
Oh, absolutely, and here's the point. Because now we have lots of people saying, well, this man did not deserve due process. He murdered five people. And Thomas Paine is so eloquent in this point, and he says, look, the right that you deny someone else is the right that is denied to you.
Right.
And he even says that the excitement and enthusiasm over punishment is always the foe to liberty. And so when people talk about denying people's rights, they never once contemplate that that very same standard will be applied on themselves one day.
Absolutely.
It's an error of arrogance and folly.
Well, and you end up with the mob rule if you're not careful, and that's what it comes down to. You know, it's the old difference between the sheriff saying he's going to get a fair trial and let's take him out and lynch him.
That's absolutely right, and that's what Paine was talking about. The human nature factor of excitement over punishment will always override liberty. And once again, those who engage in that extreme punishment never once consider that that very same mechanism will be employed on them in the future.
Well,
and I've even hear people say he didn't deserve to live. Thomas Paine said, look, if you love liberty and you want to preserve your own liberty, that means you even have to secure the liberty of your enemy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and if they pass a law, like, say, in California, where they go, all right, now it's illegal for you to own this, 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 and this, or your property rights or your water rights or whatever, now they can come in and just say, hey, you know, you're an evil guy. You deserve to lose your property rights. You deserve to lose your gun rights because guns are dangerous. They're involved in shootings.
How many people said that Lavoie Finicum deserved to die?
I don't know. You know, that just makes the hair on the back of my neck stand
up. But isn't that the same argument by a different tribe of people? You had all the environmentalists, all of the lovers of federal governments, all of the progressive liberals beating the war drum and saying that Lavoie Finicum deserved to die. You know, and the police were justified in shooting him to save other people's lives. When now the same group that would stand behind Lavoie is saying that the man in Dallas deserved to die, he deserved to be blown up, you know. I am mourning the death of these innocent people. I am awed by the human nature of officers who will throw themselves in the front of danger to save other people. This is not a comment on law enforcement. This is a comment on human nature. And this human nature has been laid out before us over centuries.
Well, and the
so
evil,
now we have to have this discussion because we transgressed a new boundary.
And the evil men in power will twist this to their own ends. And that's exactly the problem.
Yeah. Oh, because William the Pitt the Younger said necessity is the plea for every infringement of human liberty. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. And now you will hear throughout the next few weeks until the new crisis comes along and we become distracted by it instead, the necessity of law enforcement to be militarized, the necessity of law enforcement to be federalized, the necessity of allowing government to employ whatever means necessary to keep us safe. And I hope that those listening to this particular show will remember when they hear that plea of necessity that that identifies two different people. If you're the one crying necessity, you're either a tyrant or a slave. And maybe we should classify ourselves.
Hmm. Yeah, wouldn't that be instant education for a lot of people? Let's move on and talk about what you think about Hillary Clinton and all that, because that was kind of the discussion on that was all shut down because of this other shooting in Dallas. And, you know, it looks to me like Hillary Clinton has been pretty much proven to be a liar and a traitor at this point. What's your take on the discussion of Comey not recommending indictment to the grand jury?
You know, it's phenomenal because when you read the statute that Hillary violated, I watched some of the congressional questioning of Comey. I watched as much as I could before my head would explode.
Right.
And Comey's entire argument was that Hillary lacked criminal intent. However, the statute is specifically written so criminal intent is not an element. Gross negligence is the element. Now, Comey admits before Congress and even in his press conference that Hillary was grossly negligent in what she did. That in and of it, that by itself, by statute, requires that Hillary be either fined or imprisoned. It also requires by statute that she never be allowed to hold office again in the United States.
Yeah.
See, that's the second thing that people are missing, because Congress isn't even using that statute to sort of grill Comey. But everybody is missing that point, that what has happened now is Comey himself said, well, we don't want to prosecute people in America for being negligent. That's sort of tyrannical. Here's the problem. We prosecute people for being negligent all the time. Mm-hmm. There's a statute in every single state for culpable negligence or criminal negligence. There are civil fines and penalties for being negligent in supervision. What Comey is really saying is the law establishes a standard. We are going to now establish a higher standard for government to be prosecuted under the law. An unattainable standard, which makes government legally untouchable.
Well, because the fact patterns can never be established for intent, because you can't get into anybody's mind, really. I mean, mens rea is hard to prove, period, you know, because you can't actually go in and figure out what their intent was. But the fact patterns can show intent. And, you know, this grilling by Trey Gowdy.
Yeah, but we don't need to show intent.
Well, I get that. That's what I'm saying.
There is no requirement for intent.
But that's what they're saying.
The intent in discussion shouldn't even be taking place.
Absolutely. But that's what they're saying, is they're saying that we're going to shift it up to a higher standard here, so you have to prove intent, which is ridiculous under that statute. So what do you think about Trey Gowdy's grilling of that? Do you think that that's going to go anywhere? I know you're a big fan of Trey Gowdy, right?
It's going nowhere. Trey Gowdy did nothing for Benghazi. Trey Gowdy promised last year, he stood before the press and said, I have in my hand evidence sufficient to indict Hillary Clinton. And he never did it. The Benghazi hearings did nothing. Trey Gowdy is all bark and no bite. I don't even listen to Trey Gowdy anymore because it's infuriating. You know why it's infuriating? Because every time that man opens his mouth, he proves how immoral he is.
Yep.
He proves that he knows what the right thing is.
But he
doesn't
do it.
He proves that he knows what the right thing to do is, but then he chooses not to do it.
Yeah,
like
I got
so
agree.
Many of them up there do.
Well, it looks good. Wait. It makes good theater. It makes good kabuki, you know, in front of everybody.
Yeah. So now you reelect me because I have great sound bites, and people don't even. We are such a society of cult of personality and a political worship that we don't even dig into the actions of people. And the politicians have figured this out.
Yep.
I can give a good speech. I can sound tough. I can invoke the names of the founders. And the people will vote for me.
Yep.
And I don't have to do anything at all to prove what I believe.
Because they'll forget about it. They won't remember what I promised to do. There will be another crisis or something that I can play upon and move forward with it, and the people will forget.
I don't think they're going to forget about Hillary at this point because she's running for president. I think that the damage is already done. Unless the elections are fixed, I predict Trump winning by a landslide. Not that I'm a great, huge fan of Trump, but he's a hell of a lot better than Hillary or Bernie.
Well, why can't they just prosecute her under, you know, ignorance is no excuse of the law?
Well, they
I mean,
it's a negligence. It says a fine.
So, no, here's the question. We don't need to be talking now about the FBI and the Department of Justice. They are executive branch agencies, and the executive branch has been sold out to the party that rules the executive branch. Whoever is president is the ruler of the executive branch, and whoever is president, their party rules the executive branch. The solution still lies, and has always lied, laid within Congress.
Right.
Congress can impeach Hillary Clinton right now.
They can impeach Loretta Lynch. They can impeach Comey.
Yeah.
They can do all of this. They do nothing.
Well, everybody says, well, but Hillary's not in office. Well, that's not true. The precedent was set in the 1800s that Congress can impeach somebody who used to be in office but is now resigned and no longer in office. She doesn't have to be in office because impeachment can be prosecution for past crimes while in office, and then the impeachment precludes her from holding office in the future.
Well, you think any of that's going to happen, or are we just going to keep shelving this and putting it under the pillow so that she ends up still running for president? I don't think she's eligible at this point. But that statue, if there was any prosecution at all, you know, she would either be fined, imprisoned, and not be eligible to run at all. I mean, I don't think people are going to forget about this. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, the media is very loyal to her, and the media will teach people all the lies about, this. They've already, even after the Benghazi hearing, been publishing things that the last Benghazi committee declares Hillary's innocence and, you know, that she was not lying. And so the media has become intent on publishing things that simply are not true and creating news rather than reporting news. So there's a good number of people out there who are so connected with corporate media that whatever the corporate media says is true. I mean, that's true of the progressives and of the conservatives as
sure.
well. Fox News doesn't do any better at reporting truth than CNN. It's all with a spin. And even though they put their token liberal on whatever talk show they have, it's always repeating the liberal talking points. We never really get to truth.
Yeah,
and so what people need to realize is that corporate media is the same, no matter whether it's CNN, MSNBC, or Fox. And we need to start informing ourselves rather than taking what's been being said to us, taking back the narrative and speaking truth.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I've been saying it for years about Fox. You know, all of them, they pander to their audiences and tell them what they want to hear, but they keep channeling the narrative down. It's like O'Reilly coming out with this pictures of Obama the other day, dressed up in a whatever you call it for a Muslim wedding. I mean, that was out on the internet 8 years ago, you know, so now all of a sudden, you know, we're gonna look at Obama like he might be a Muslim. Well, what was your first clue? Was it, you know, his name?
Yeah, but you got to look back to where they're getting their money. Who's paying them to give the narrative?
It all
goes back
to the counterfeit.
Yeah,
and I think it all goes back to what
power.
I think it all goes back to what Chris Ann's saying about the answer is I'm not going to comply.
No.
The answer comes back to I'm not going to pay you my taxes. I'm not going
it's
to
back
follow.
To the people.
It's really the response of the ability of the people to finally say no. We're not doing it anymore, and getting rid of these. I gotta watch my language, but I might get beat.
Well, we have to give up our fatal attraction love affair to political parties.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the most disgusting things that I have heard so far is this Republican conservative mantra that it's Barack Obama's fault that these officers died in Dallas. we've got to stop pointing our fingers at Barack Obama, because the truth of the matter is, Barack Obama has no power and does nothing unless Congress allows him to do this. So if you're going to lay point fingers and lay blame, the blame has to be laid on Congress for their inaction, and they've become complicit in everything that he does. But here's the real problem. Guns don't kill people. It is wicked, wicked, sick people who killed people. The only person to blame for what happened in Dallas was the sick man who did this. And until we start realizing that we have a responsibility in society to be moral, to follow the law, and to preserve the liberty of people, we are going to continue to decline. Samuel Adams said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties nor be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved." He said, on the contrary, when a people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. Atheists can be moral. It is you don't have to be Christian to be moral. That is a very egocentric sort of idea. I know lots of people, I have lots of friends who would consider themselves to be druids, and they know, and pagans, and they know the difference between right and wrong. And this is the standard that we have lost in society. And so now we run around and lay blame on each other and try to find responsibilities outside of our own. And the easy target is Barack Obama, when Barack Obama is not the problem, he is the symptom of the problem.
Well, he's easy to blame because
he
definitely throws sticks on the fire. There's no question.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the ability to throw sticks. He doesn't even have sticks to throw.
Well, if Congress would cut him off at the pocketbook, and they should have impeached him a long time ago, I absolutely agree with you. But let's talk a little bit about what you just said about the law and following the law. To some people, it's very confusing to understand, well, you say to follow the law, but then at the same time you say that we need to not comply. How can you do both?
Well, you judge what laws are moral and which laws are not. And we have a standard. We have a standard of the principles of liberty. Okay? So if a law violates your personal liberty, your natural right to life, liberty, property, and the security of your life, your personal, not waiting around for government to make you safe, but your right to self-preservation, then that law conflicts with natural law. And it is no law at all. That's the way our Constitution is set up, based on the principles of natural law. The natural rights of the people to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That pursuit of happiness is wrapped up in your right to self-preservation, which includes property, which includes free speech, which includes assembly, which includes the right to keep and bear arms. All of these things are rights, mind you. Well, meaning you have them without having to ask permission from government. So the easy way to understand when to comply and when not to comply is rule number one. If the federal government is doing something contrary to the Constitution, contrary to their specifically enumerated powers, or in addition to their specifically enumerated powers, it is an unlawful law, it is no law at all, and it's not, you're not required to comply. Every single writing of the men who wrote the Constitution echo that principle even in verbatim. Alexander Hamilton, our biggest government guy, said in Federalist 78, no law contrary to the Constitution can be valid. Which means the EPA is invalid. The ATF is invalid. The Department of Education is invalid. The Bureau of Land Management is invalid. The Federal Forestry Service is invalid. All of these executive agencies are contrary to the Constitution and in addition to powers specifically delegated, which means they are not valid and they are no law at all.
Well, and I mean, here's an example of what I'm talking about. I'm looking at a story here. Last week, Monsanto scored a victory on a test vote for a bill that would give the federal government exclusive authority over GMO labeling laws. And this would deny the states the ability to pass their own laws in this manner. Here's a list of the senators. So, I mean, go ahead and I'm kind of teeing that up for you. And so, you know, tell me, why is that not legal?
Because we have never delegated the authority to the federal government to label GMOs. We've never even delegated the authority to the federal government to have control over what we grow or what we don't grow. We have never delegated the authority to the federal government to tell the states how to run their states. And the 10th Amendment declares that all of these things are, all of these powers are reserved to the states. So what you have now is the federal government by legislation not only increasing its own power exponentially outside the Constitution, but depriving the states of their reserved powers. I just mentioned once again, my book, Sovereign Duty, goes over all of these things. It gives you the founder's litmus on what is lawful and what is not.
And that's what people need to understand so that they can not comply with this illegal, these illegal color of law. They're really color of law. They're not law because if they're not constitutional, they're not really law at all. And
no, the Declaration of Independence calls them pretended offenses.
Right, right. So
they're pretended laws because they're not lawfully based. And, you know, people can listen to our show here today, but they're never going to be able to take down the notes. They're never going to be able to actually, you know how to do, to apply these standards. And that's why the Sovereign Duty Book is so important.
So they need to do a little homework, is what you're saying, in order to
absolutely
to get this firmly implanted in their minds, what is constitutional and what is not. And, you know, like taking the property rights from your neighbor because you disagree with him. It's like the marijuana laws. It drives me crazy. You know, I think that if they sell them to kids, prosecute them. If they drive cars, prosecute them. If they pollute the creeks, prosecute them. But if you allow the federal government to come in and take their property, then you're allowing them to come in and take your property anytime they want to under some other trumped up problem.
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to prosecute them, you can only prosecute them on the state level because marijuana is not a crime we've delegated to the federal government.
Right.
The other thing is when you think about it from a legal perspective, right, people don't think like lawyers, thank God. But I think when you're really actually looking at law, it's helpful to think like a lawyer. And so what we've said is that the federal government can regulate not marijuana, because from a legal sense, marijuana is a plant. And when you give lawyers the ammunition to say that government can regulate marijuana, what a lawyer hears is that the government has the authority to regulate plants. What happens if people's society create a mechanism by which we can smoke banana peels and sell this, you know, dried banana peels to get high? Do we now allow the federal government to regulate and criminalize the sale of bananas? And here's the, now that we've come full circle in understanding how law thinks, most people don't realize that federal regulation of marijuana was not derived from the idea that it is a drug, but derived from the idea that it's a plant. The federal law that they used to bootstrap marijuana into federal jurisdiction was a case in California governing the sale and the production of wheat. And the Supreme Court said that the federal government can regulate the sale and production of wheat. The lawyer said if we can regulate the sale and production of wheat, we can regulate the sale and production of marijuana.
It is a slippery slope. I always tell people, and you know, think about this for a second. You know, go back to the Prohibition. They had to change the Constitution in order to give the federal government jurisdiction over alcohol. Why didn't they have to do that with marijuana?
Because now we have decided that the Supreme Court of the United States is above the Constitution, which means now that the Supreme Court of the United States can amend the Constitution via opinion. And the Supreme Court can create law via opinion, which has created an oligarchy of nine kings and queens, and nobody questions it.
Well, it's the, and that, that's absolutely completely contrary to what the founders said that the Supreme Court was there for. You know, they're supposed to give their opinions on the law, not make rulings that are binding on everybody from the federal from the federal level.
I want to give everybody a little bit of homework, a little trivia, just something to make you think about something. Our framers had a grasp of grammar that we have lost in America. And grammar, they used as a tool of communication. So proper grammar matters when reading our founding documents. So go read Article 3 and look at the term Supreme Court. See how they wrote Supreme Court in Article 3. And it might give you, and then apply the understandings of proper nouns and adjectives. And I'll give you a hint. Look at the capitalization or lack thereof and see how our framers saw the Supreme Court and what we have done to change that just simply by changing the grammar.
Words do have meanings.
Absolutely.
Many times, yeah.
Interestingly
yeah.
enough. Yeah.
We did have a question in the chat room for you, Chris, Anne. It says, so if Obama has no power, why does he use his executive power to bypass Congress?
He doesn't use his executive power to bypass Congress because it's not a power that belongs to the executive branch. What it is what we call assumed authority. It's not legal authority, it's assumed authority. It's an authority that he is exercising to which no one is denying. And so, since nobody is denying that power, everybody assumes he has that power. And the assumed power comes from the acquiescence of Congress to that assumed power. Assumed power never becomes legal authority, okay?
Okay.
Assumed authority never becomes legal authority. However, it becomes a reality when acquiescence to that assumed authority makes it real by compliance. It's just like the EPA has no legal authority over us.
Right.
It has an assumed authority over us, an assumed authority that obtains a legal power based on our compliance. If Congress stood up to to Barack Obama, but here's the bigger thing. If our governors stood up to Barack Obama and said, your EPA has no jurisdiction here, your DOJ, your ATF, your BLM, they have no jurisdiction in our states, then this assumed authority would fall away as irrelevant because the lawful holders of the authority would say, no, it has no power here.
So again, we will not comply. Now, I've pulled up Article
3. We will not comply.
I pulled up Article 3 here.
Judicial.
Need more coffee.
Branch.
The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court. That's with a capital. And in other inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain or establish.
Which word is capitalized?
Well, the Supreme Court is capitalized there, and the United States is capitalized, and then it
where
goes.
Where are you? Where? Hold on a second. What are you reading that from?
I just Googled it. It's U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, so that's
from,
an incorrect version of the. That is an incorrect version of Article 3.
Okay, this is Cornell University Law School is where I'm at.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they are in the habit of printing incorrections, truth about the Constitution. In a historical version of the Constitution, Supreme Court, the Supreme is not capitalized, only Court is.
Well, that's where I was kind of getting to it because it says, in the first part, it says, the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court, which is capitalized, and in such inferior courts as Congress may time to time ordain and establish or whatever. The judges, both of the Supreme and inferior courts, which are not capitalized, shall hold their offices. So it should have never been capitalized in the first place?
No. Mm-mm.
Interesting.
Supreme is not capitalized, it's only court. Supreme is an adjective to define the level of court. It is not a proper noun. It is an adjective to derive the level of court. You have Supreme Court, adjective Supreme, and you have inferior court, adjective inferior.
So what's the so tell me what that is saying in you know, in non-legal speak, so that the guy out there listening can understand what you're talking
about.
So
what happens is when you capitalize the S in Supreme, what you're doing is creating it as a self-existing proper noun, rather than a court that has been established as a higher level by the people.
Makes them above.
So that puts them above.
Yep.
Yep.
And it puts them above everything. It puts them above the legislature. It puts them above the executive. It makes them the highest branch of government, when in reality, our founders created them to be the lowest level of government in federal government. There's a hierarchy in federal government. Congress was vested with the most power, the House being vested with more power than the Senate. The executive branch was vested with the next amount of power, being below Congress, and then the judiciary below the executive branch.
I thought they were separate and equal.
Only for checks and balances, not in the delegation of power. They are equally they are co-equal in their ability to check and balance each other.
I see.
But they are not co-equal in the vested power.
So in other words, one can't override the other's check or balance on the system, but at the same time, they actually can retain more power based on what the authority that has been given to them in the articles.
No. What that means is the authority that has been given to them via the Constitution has been segregated by degree.
Right.
But they are equally based on the power that has been delegated to them to check each other.
Right. No,
so
I think we said the same
Congress
thing.
Congress can check the judiciary. The judiciary can check Congress. The executive can check either of the two. They are equally established to check all of the other branches. They are limited in the power in which they can do that.
No, I think we're saying the same thing. I just might have I might have said it in a way that wasn't coherent. because Congress has the power of the purse, and that's the mightiest power of all, it seems, because it could shut down everything else.
Well, even more than that, it's the House that has the power of purse, not
right.
Congress.
Well, absolutely.
The Senate doesn't hold the strings. Only the House does.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. So that's the different more power that you're talking about. But
mm-hmm.
It doesn't shut down between the different branches, because you can't override my check or my balance on whatever other power that we're talking about. Interesting.
So if they did that in Article 3, that easily, with just changing Supreme to a capital,
mm-hmm.
how much more have they tore up our Constitution and our articles by doing that? And we don't even know it. Most people wouldn't
know
that.
It's happening a lot. It's happening a lot. They are reprinting versions of the Declaration of Independence, where the last paragraph of the version of the Declaration of Independence has been changed by the capitalization of one letter. And the capitalization of that one letter changes the entire meaning of the Declaration of Independence and the creation of the state. The last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence says, "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America." In the original version of the Declaration of Independence, that word "United" is not capitalized, because there is no proper noun, United States of America. In July 4, 1776, there was no Union of States. There was no Constitution. The only thing that existed were the states. So the word "United" is not capitalized, because the only proper noun that exists is "State of America."
Right.
The word "United" is an adjective to identify that the states are united in their publication and declaration of their independence.
Well, and this
but when you change that "U" to a capital letter, what you create then is the proper noun "United States of America," which implies the federal government. And what you're now saying is that the federal government created the state.
Wow.
Wow, that's scary.
And this is why people hate...
Just by changing one letter.
And this is why people hate attorneys. It's so true, because there's so much hair splitting on this stuff that the average guy cannot put that together. You know, would never put that together.
It's not an attorney's fault. It's the education's fault.
No, I
get
it.
We don't teach grammar anymore, you know? I mean, we should be, I think, anybody who goes into to law writing, any legislator, county commissioner, anybody, they should have to take a 2-week course on diagramming sentences, because grammar matters.
Yep.
It really, really does.
Yeah, I don't think we teach anything like that anymore in school or for anywhere. The grammar piece and the diagram of sentences and what they mean and the meaning behind them and why you use them a certain
because
way.
Because the layman out there wants things to be simple. You know, the layman out there wants things to be straightforward.
They're lazy. Most of them are lazy.
Well, that could be true, too, and I get that. But this is why there's such a bad thing against the attorneys. And I'm, you know, present company accepted here. All I'm saying is that the attorneys go in and do a lot of this hair splitting a lot of time and change things to where a person doesn't pick that up at all,
right,
even if they're educated.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. That's why the part of what I do is teaching people the importance of knowing how to read these things. That way you're not left easily prey to those who want to tell you what it means instead of what it really means. That's why it's so important for us to form ourselves and really know how it's going.
You're proof that there's good attorneys. You see, my contention is there's a bunch of good attorneys and there's a bunch of bad attorneys.
So when they go in, they just
there's a bunch of good people and a bunch of bad people.
Absolutely.
So it's just a matter of human nature, right?
Yep, I agree.
So when they go in, they can just reprint this and nobody knows any different. Unless it's somebody like you.
Because we don't teach it.
Because we don't teach it.
And you got to go to the source documents to understand almost anything
anymore.
But they
can implement it so easily by just reprinting it and sending it out. You know what I mean?
I'm looking at Cornell University Law School here. You know, I'm not looking at, you know, Joe Schmo's, you know, store down the street here. I mean, I'm looking at a legal information institute with open access to the law since 1992, which is supposed to have some credibility here that, you know, I can trust.
Yeah, well, Cornell University also says that Article 2, Section 2, the Supremacy Clause, establishes that the federal government is generally supreme to the state. That's their explanation of the General Welfare Clause.
Well, my
so
brother.
The federal government and federal laws are generally supreme to the state.
Well, and my brother, we always used to have arguments about that, and we still argue about everything under the sun, but about this supremacy clause, I would always say basically that, and he's an attorney, he's a tax attorney, he's not versed in all law, but he would say that the supremacy clause overrides everything else, and I'd say, how can that be? You know, it can't, because otherwise it can only exert the power that is delegated to it in the Constitution. If it's overriding the states, then it's not constitutional.
The supremacy clause requires an understanding of grammar, and it requires somebody to actually take the time to read this. Now, this is not a personal assault on your brother.
No,
but if you actually sit down and read the supremacy clause, you know that statement is false. Because the Supremacy Clause says this Constitution, comma, and the laws of the United States made in pursuance thereof are the supreme law of the land. You see, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, period. The laws and the regulations today made by the federal government are only supreme if they are made in pursuance to the Constitution, which means the EPA is not the supreme law of the land because the EPA is made outside the Constitution.
Well, and I think some people think the Constitution is the federal government, and that's part of where the confusion is.
Well, we don't teach those things.
Well,
you know, I want to thank you guys for having me on the show today. I just want to mention that as soon as we hang up, we're driving to New Hampshire to teach at a Constitution camp, a week-long camp, in New Hampshire, where kids come from ages, I think, 6 through high school to learn about the Constitution, and I'm going to be teaching 2 classes there.
Nice.
Thanks.
We're glad to hear that.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on the show, Chris.
We appreciate
it. You're a real hero and a patriot, and keep doing what you're doing out there because it's making a huge difference.
And keep us informed to what you're doing if you can, so we can keep putting it out there, especially if you're in this area.
Well, I would encourage people to go to my website, chrisannehall.com, chrisannehall.com, and there's a calendar on my website that tells you where I'm going to be. It tells you all my radio interviews and all these things that are coming up. And if you sign up for our email alerts, you'll get all my publications for that week as well.
Yep, I got it. I get them all the time. I can't always keep up with them, but I try to.
Well, we want to thank you again, and enjoy your day and have a safe trip.
Thank you very much, guys. God bless the state of Jefferson.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chris Ann. God bless you as well.
All right, and you've been listening to KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Stay tuned for more of Sovereign Minds next on KCNR Shasta Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Obama defends protesters in the wake of two police shootings.
I think that the overwhelming majority of people who are involved in the Black Lives Matter movement, what they really want to see is a better relationship between the police and the community.
Mr. Obama speaking in Spain today, where he is cutting short a trip so he can return home sooner. He says he will visit Dallas this week, the site of the murder of five police officers. The president is currently on a military base in Spain that supports U.S. and NATO forces. Mr. Obama, the first president to visit Naval Station Rota since it was established 60 years ago. Congress has passed a bill to limit the office expenses of ex-presidents paid for by you and me.
A bill heading to President Obama's desk sets an annual allowance of $200,000 a year for travel, staff, and office costs that have become a standard part of life after the Oval Office. For former U.S. presidents who make money through books, speaking fees, and other ventures, the allowance is reduced for every dollar in outside income in excess of $400,000. Ex-presidents have earned millions in speaking fees since leaving office. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Authorities say a woman and a 3-year-old were injured when an Amtrak train slammed into their car at a crossing in Indianapolis. Fire officials say the woman and her child were taken to the hospital and listed in good condition. A plane ended up making an unscheduled landing at Tulsa International Airport in Oklahoma yesterday after multiple passengers became sick. Delta Flight 1817 headed to Denver from Atlanta. The cause of the illness, still not known. Andy Murray has won his second Wimbledon tennis title, beating Milos Raonic 6-4, 7-6, 7-6. 3 years ago, Murray became the first British man since 1936 to win Wimbledon. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In today's crime report, imagine finding out that someone had sold your home without you even knowing. That's exactly what happened to Robert and...
Tonight, what do you get when you combine identity theft with mortgage fraud? House stealing, a disturbing new crime that's fast becoming a national epidemic.
In the fight against mortgage fraud and house stealing, there's finally some good news. A national fraud alert service has been established to alert homeowners when someone may be trying to scam you out of your home. It's called Home Title Lock, and right now they're letting the public try it for free and check your title for free to make sure you're not already a victim. Just go to HomeTitleLock.com. The FBI warns that mortgage fraud is one of the fastest-growing white-collar crimes in America. So far, Home Title Lock is the only national alert service for mortgage fraud and house stealing. That's why they're letting you try it for free and check your title for free to make sure you're not already a victim. Just go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com for details. Again, HomeTitleLock.com.
Police say more than 120 officers were injured and 86 demonstrators detained during leftist riots in the German capital yesterday, which police call, quote, the most aggressive and violent protest in the last 5 years. Authorities in Berlin say protesters threw bottles, cobblestones, and fireworks, destroyed cars, and attacked officers. It wasn't immediately clear how serious the injuries were or how many rioters were injured in the clashes. About 3,500 protesters participated. During their working years, women tend to earn less than men, and when they retire, they're more likely to live in poverty, according to a new report. The women who raise children and care for the sick and elderly family members often take what savings and income they have and spend it on things besides their own retirement. The National Institute on Retirement Security, the nonprofit research center, reports women are 80% more likely than men to be impoverished by the age of 65. News and analysis at townhall.com. A big acquisition in the computer antivirus world.
Avast Software says it is acquiring its antivirus rival AVG Technologies in a $1.3 billion deal. Prague-based Avast says it's ready to pay $25 per share in cash for Amsterdam-based AVG. Avast says the deal is meant to take advantage of emerging growth opportunities in internet security as well as organizational efficiencies, with a goal to become serious competition for the global leaders in the internet security business. The companies have over 400 million users combined. Avast says the transaction is expected to close between September 15th and October 15th. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, July the 10th, and a birthday for a number of notable people, including former boxer Jake LaMotta. He's 95 years old today. Former New York City Mayor David Dinkins turns 89. Folk singer Arlo Guthrie, 69. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You want to know what State of Jefferson will look like? You decide.
July 23rd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1179 Eager Road in Live Oak at the Church of Glad Tidings.
Join your neighbors for the first Jefferson Formation Assembly. Represent your county. Leave your fingerprints on the free state.
July 23rd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1179 Eager Road in Live Oak at the Church of Glad Tidings. Register now at soj51.net.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location, so check out Solar. May be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
If tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Yeah. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea.
From Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff there. That's Home Free if anybody wants to go find some of their stuff. I ran across that the other day, and just amazing.
I do a great job.
Thank you so much for watching our music video for God Bless the USA. This was actually one of the first songs Chris ever arranged for Home Free.
Way back in the day.
So it's amazing to be doing a music video for it 16 years later.
Yeah, so they've been around a while.
Yeah.
So they've been around a while, but that's the first I heard of them, and I'll tell you what, I like that better than the Lee Greenwood edition, if that's and that's saying quite a bit, because it was good. So, this is a quote, and it says, "All warfare is based on deception. Hence, when able to attack, we must seem unable. When using our forces, we must seem inactive. When we are near, we must make the enemy believe we are far away. And when we are far away, we must make him believe we are near." Sun Tzu. Then we have another one. This is that was Sun Tzu, obviously. You know, the ancient Chinese master of the art of war. And then this one is another one. Pit race against race, religion against religion, prejudice against prejudice, divide and conquer. We must not let that happen here. That's Eleanor Roosevelt.
Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that one at all.
So, you know, it's interesting that this strategy has been, you know, implemented over and over and over again. And, of course, that can't be what the current political environment is doing, is it? No.
Well, it's surprising that, you know, even the founding fathers could see it and put things in place, like Chris Ann was saying, to protect us. And we've kind of lost our journey with it, you know, that we've got sidetracked or fell asleep or whatever. But, you know, that they could see.
Interestingly enough, 11 cops were shot, and it's 11 days till the Republican National Convention.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's a very good chance that there could be more violence between here and there, and that's on July 18th. And, wow, this who knows? This could make the 68 Democrat riots look like happy days.
Hey, the Democrat convention this year might not be a picnic exactly either with the Bernie Sanders supporters.
Man, I tell you what.
Among other unhappy folks.
Getting kind of crazy out there, guys. Batten down the hatches. Get yourself in a position to ride the storm out. We've been saying it for a long, long time. Maybe people are starting to understand that this is fairly predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and with that, I do have something to get out there. We wanted to wish happy birthday to Little Al today. He's 100 years old. He's been in 3 wars, and they're having a luncheon for him at the Sons of Italy today. But we wanted to give him a shout-out to happy birthday to Little Al.
Hmm. Well, very good. Let's go ahead and have we got Dick Morris over there?
The guy we had on, well, the interview that we replayed last week, that was Big Al, right?
That was Big Al.
Big Al.
This is Little Al, yep. So we got Big and Little. So, but he's 100 years old today, so happy birthday to you, and thank you for your service, sir.
Very good.
There we have Dick Morris.
Let's listen to
looking
Dick.
Bigger himself these days.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I'm not a huge fan of Dick Morris. Used to be one of the consultants to the Clintons, but he does know the Clintons pretty well. And this is interesting what he had to say on his Facebook page. So go ahead, Bob.
I think that a bomb dropped today in Comey's testimony before Congress. We need to move directly and immediately to exploit that. Comey was asked, did Hillary lie when she told Congress that I did not send or receive classified materials? And he said she did send or receive classified materials. Did Hillary lie when she said she turned over all the emails? Hillary did not turn over all the emails. Did Hillary lie when she said that her server was not hacked? Her server was hacked. And then they said, so Director Comey, why have you not recommended an indictment of Hillary for contempt of Congress, for lying to Congress? And he said, I don't have a referral from Congress. And they said, do you need one? And he said, yes. And then the chairman said, you will have a referral in a matter of hours. Now they've got her. She clearly lied under oath to Congress. She clearly committed perjury. Now, the way this would work is that if the Congress makes the referral and the FBI concludes that she did indeed lie, then it goes to the Justice Department again for Loretta Lynch to rule on whether she should be prosecuted for being in contempt of Congress. And presumably she'll say the same stuff. It'll climb up the chain and she'll say the same thing. But it will now be not following an FBI recommendation, but opposing an FBI recommendation. Because the FBI, having found that these were lies, and having her under oath testimony to Congress to that effect, can't do anything other than recommend her indictment. You see, all the lies that Hillary told that the FBI investigated were lies that she made to the media, to the press, to the public, not under oath. The only time she testified under oath about these is when she testified before Congress. So this is a whole new game. In my book, Armageddon, How Trump Can Beat Hillary, I really explain why Hillary had this secret server. It wasn't that she was just convenient. It was that she needed to conceal the corruption between her and Bill Clinton in the RICO they had in the State Department, where he would pass the bag and she would do the favors. Thanks for watching. And by the way, please spread this around. I'm still in Facebook jail. They won't promote it for me. And also, I like you, so please like me so we can stay in touch. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. There's Dick Morris. Not, like I say, I'm not a huge fan of him, but, you know, that's an interesting take on, things. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen, but I'll tell you what. It's getting interesting. So we do have a caller on the line, I guess.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning, you two. Boy, that was an absolutely excellent segment. Good questions, Mark. That was great. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the compliment. We do appreciate that. We're trying to get this out there as much as we can. We've been banging the drum for a long time, and I think people are waking up, like you say, and seeing what the answers are. And sometimes the answers aren't very pretty, but nonetheless, you got to get involved.
Well, there's a couple things she said that I'd like to touch on and get your opinion on.
Sure.
You know, the first thing is something that really hits home here. We always talk about things. I mean, we're talking about Hillary and all this stuff, but what about some things right here that's happening we see locally that's magnifying across the United States, and that's the militarizing of police.
Yeah, and it's getting crazy. I mean, I'm looking at an article right now that, you know, it's from Armstrong Economics, U.S. government preparing for massive civil unrest. I mean, gosh darn, I mean, what, you know, how crazy is that in America? But to ignore that, I think, is arrogant and stupid.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how that affects things locally, militarizing the police. Not to say anything, but it is interesting that we have Colonel Paletti as our police chief. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is that as we look at this, we have a brand new police station that costs us several million dollars. We have brand new cars. We have a brand new computer system. We have $200,000 that we spent that did a study on what we should do better in law enforcement, and the synopsis of that study was we didn't need more police officers. We just needed to have them routed a little bit differently, and there needed to be a better procedure on how their time is spent, but we did need five community officers. On top of that, the police just got raises. The Reading Police Department is the highest paid per media capita in the United States, just about. They are in California. Some police officers make eight times more than the average citizen in Reading. The other thing that I find interesting is wanting this money to get more police officers and more of this and more of that, when we know that most of the burglaries are done usually in the afternoon. And the other day I was driving down Market Street, and I noticed there were three police officers in three vehicles, brand-new vehicles, that were standing, a couple of them yucking it up a bit, another one talking to one man who was sitting on the curb, who basically looked homeless and a little out of it. But there were three officers right there. And you wonder about response times when you see things like that. You also wonder about if the response times are so slow, maybe that's because we need more police officers. But wait, we just spent $200,000 and said we didn't need them. So this half-cent tax really raises a lot of questions. I want to know what you think about all those things.
Well, I think we need to not raising the tax is not solving the problem, because all it is giving more money for them to spend. I mean, it's the same old Democratic view of government is anytime you need more money, raise taxes. They don't cut programs. They don't cut their pay. They don't cut their pensions. You know, and the whole thing is not about, protecting the citizenry at this point. It's about enriching their own coffers.
Well, it certainly seems to be the case, and what I find is the gullibility of some citizens to say, oh, yeah, we just, after all those things, I mean, everything I just stated was fact. I mean, whether people agree with those things or not, they're not my facts, they're just the facts. And I may be, as you know, we're going to have Tom Basenka, who's our sheriff, tomorrow night at the Patriot meeting. Maybe a good question to ask him is how he sees the militarizing of police. And also maybe ask him about some of the MOUs that he has.
Well, and then in light of the gun laws recently passed, you militarize the police, you take away everybody's right for self-defense, and you pay these guys enough money that they will pretty much do whatever they're told to. I mean, does that seem like a recipe for disaster to you, or is it just me?
No, you're absolutely right. The other thing that's out of the 98 officers we have, 20 of them have a better compensation package and make more money than the police chief of San Diego.
Isn't that insane?
It's just unbelievable. There's one little gentleman who rides around on a motorcycle who's up around $198,000 a year. I mean, I just don't know where we don't start to wonder if we live in Gotham at times with everything that's going on. I know that we've had a lot of mail robberies in our neighborhood in broad daylight. We had one particular neighbor who actually had to defend himself with his shovel in the backyard from a homeless guy. And I live in a very nice neighborhood. And I think that what we're having on Wednesday in Cottonwood, at the community center in Cottonwood, I think that's going to be very important because we're going to have two sheriffs there and apparently DAs from two different counties because people are now saying, hey, we'll just watch our own neighborhoods and patrol it ourselves. Now, that isn't vigilantism at this point. It's wondering what the police are really doing.
Well, and that's down there at 6 p.m., down at the Cottonwood Center right there by the baseball park on the 13th.
The second thing I wanted to ask you about is what do you think about Chris Ann's comment about how the House of Representatives holds the purse strings? Because you might even have been at the meeting that we were at, and we were talking to Doug LaMalfa, and the congressman's response was, well, it's not as easy as just that. We just can't hold the money back from him. It doesn't work that way.
It's the same old BS.
Do you know?
It's the same old BS. You know, they vote with the leaders. The leadership tells them a way to vote, or they get paid off. You know, the Monsanto is the clearest thing that we've got on, and there's other issues. You know, he voted for the crime omnibus bill. You know, why didn't he vote against it? Because the leadership told him that they needed to vote for it, which gave all the funding for everything to Obama. So they're full of crap. You know, if you had the majority of them stand up and say we're not going to fund it, you know, but they're politically cowardice. You know, cowards. They don't want to buck the establishment, and they don't want to make the ways, and you know, but the real deal is they are part of the establishment, and that's part of the problem. They could cut this guy off anytime they want to, but they don't because they're part of the problem. They're up there getting their fat, you know, salaries and their fat payoffs and their fat corruption and bribery, and they don't give a real crap about us, but they pander to us. They tell us, oh, we're going to give you this, or we're going to preserve your water rights and build the site's reservoir, and we're pro gun control, because that's something we really can't do anything about at the state level. And so, you know, they give us all this talking points and chewing gum for our ears, but it doesn't mean crap because, you know, you go to a huge vote like the Cromney bus bill, and what does he do? He votes for it. He votes to give the president more power on the TPA. He talks a good talk, but he turns around and stabs us in the back with his BS every time you turn around on the big votes. So, you know, he's full of shit. Sorry.
I'm on live, but I think Bob got that.
I'm not sure he got that.
Anyway, my other question you know, when we have a situation with someone like Mr. Gowdy, what did you think about Chris Ann Hall's take on him, since he's sort of one of the fair-haired boys that the Republican Party is looking at and saying, oh, my gosh, you know, and all the people who watch Fox News, oh, Kurt, this Gowdy fella, he needs to be our...
Nothing happens.
He's our guy.
Yeah, but nothing ever happens.
But we've heard this before.
Nothing ever happens.
Yeah, nothing
happens. He's a great... Yeah. He prosecuted him. He cross-examined Comey, blah, 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 blah. Nothing ever happens.
You know, I think that what's going to happen in Cottonwood, I'm kind of excited about. I'm heading over there. I want to see what's going on myself. You know, it seems to me like the bottom line is that it doesn't look like we're going to get help from our legislative body anywhere, and that's state or federal. It doesn't look like the government's going to help in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't look like the people that we have, not all of them. I really have a lot of respect for all our sheriffs. But I think in a lot of the different police departments, et cetera, I think we're really not getting the help that we should have. And I think that as we look at all this, at what particular point do we finally realize that the bottom line is all we really have is each other?
Well, I think when it gets so ugly that it's undeniable, we're not quite there yet, because we have people going around kissing, you know, the butts of the supervisors still, and the butts of the city council, and the butts of our legislature, the butts of our congressmen, because it's really good to smooth with everybody instead of, you know, getting...
But that's what it's going to take, is the people. We have the power. That is the problem.
Well,
the people have the power. We don't need them.
Well, the real deal is compliance, and that's what's going to
change
it.
Yeah, we don't need them.
You've got to stop playing their game.
Here's the problem, Linda. We don't believe that. If we believed that, we wouldn't be even talking about this. People don't believe it.
Not yet.
I'm sure that even a lot of people who even say they believe it don't believe it. I mean, go to any city council meeting or any board of supervisors meeting, and the first thing out of someone's mouth is, thank you for allowing me to speak. Thank you for letting me be here. I mean, really and truly,
it's gonna take
Chris Ann and you guys, the things you guys do and Chris Ann does is just such an amazing, amazing thing for folks in getting the truth out.
Well, you know, when somebody starts showing up to their houses and throwing rocks through the windows and standing out in the yards with pitchforks and torches, maybe at that point, because they're getting hungry and they've lost all their pensions and they can't feed their kids, maybe at that point they'll realize what they've done.
But they'll have the military in the towns.
Well,
and again, my concern is seeing a lot of Homeland Security around here, seeing a lot of the MOU we have with the Department of Forestry. I mean, where these guys can give tickets, what's the deal with that? I could see it maybe in a more rural area, but what are they doing driving around Redding?
Well, again, this whole thing is going to have to shut down and reset. And that could be good or bad depending on what happens. I mean, I'm not saying that I have all the answers. I'm saying that here's what is happening. And, the people have got to pull together. That's why the meeting in Cottonwood. People are starting to realize that, and not everyone. I mean, there's a bunch of idiots out there that are on the take. I mean, look at all these guys that are sucking down their government pensions and sucking down on their government cheese. They don't care right now. But at the same time, they're going to have to care because it's going to get so bad that if we don't end up like Venezuela, I'm going to be surprised.
Well, it's going to affect everybody here pretty soon.
It's already affecting everybody.
That's
to
true.
A degree. It's
yeah.
just not to the
extent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not to the degree that they have to stand up and go, hey, what's going on? I need to do something.
It's
well, we have a new law where more felons are going to be released. That'll definitely...
That'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. And I think that... See, the community watch down in Cottonwood, I've been kind of, chit-chatting with them for about a year. They seem to have a pretty good handle on things, and they have a good working relationship with the deputies out there.
Good.
But maybe that's something in a template. I wonder if our police chief would, how he'd feel about that. Maybe some of us ought to go ask him about it. I know part of the problem he has is, we don't want to put the community in danger. Well, when you have somebody who walks up into your yard who's a crackhead and threatens you, and my neighbor has to beat the guy off with a shovel, at what particular point do we, how do you defend yourself?
Well,
you're
going to have to defend yourself, Terry, whether you like it or not.
You're right.
That's the bottom line.
Yes.
And then you're going to have to be tried by 12. I mean,
yes.
What's the old saying is that, I'd rather be tried by 12 than carried by 6.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah. And that's going to be the check and balance on these guys. I mean, if they're going to say, you can't do this, well, you're just going to have to do it and defend yourself and do it the right thing and then throw it in front of a jury. And get not guilty by a jury of your peers, because they're supposed to try the law as well as the facts, and that's where the education comes in.
And with that, I believe we have somebody else that wants to get in on the conversation. We got Dar in Palisadro. Are you with us?
Yes.
You want to get in on this conversation?
You're on the air.
Hello, Dar.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Well, I want to agree with Terry as far as people being apologetic for being we the people and standing up for their rights and having to go up in front of the Chamber of Commerce or whatever and saying, thank you for being here. We have a right to be there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the real deal is that we don't need permission. And
this whole
thing of them putting the comment period to the back of the bus, and there's going to be a reality check. These guys think they are the law, and at some point in time, they're going to understand that they're just a person who's supposed to be following the law and implementing the law fairly and across the board for the benefit of their constituents, not their own.
Well, we have a lot of criminals running around, too, Dar, that are running around everywhere that basically are getting away with it, yet you read in the paper that a guy, apparently, who stopped a guy from breaking the law, he's big news. He's on the front page. They're going to go after him with every cent they have in the DA's office, yet you can release a felon who virtually went out and beat somebody to a pulp, and he gets out of jail in 2 hours. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on in this town. I mean, some of the petty crimes that they go after, Tim Pappas put it best. I know how we fight the drug war. Let's go after the end user. I mean, and he said that with all due sarcasm, and Tim Pappas was correct. El Dorado County has certainly got themselves a good man when he went over there to go work.
Well, instead of going after people, you know, like for the drugs, they should be going after for the real crimes that they're committing, you know, and putting them in jail for, you know, polluting the creeks or selling to minors or you know, whatever they do. But they've got to separate out, like we talked with Ruth Ann, from taking their rights away, you know, over the pot issue and getting rid of their property rights because they're getting rid of your property rights at the same time, you know. So there's got to be a due process here across the board, and we've kind of lost that. That's the old divide and conquer thing. They divide us in all these little segments and all these little boxes, and we fall for it because we hate those marijuana guys, you know. But at the same time, I'm not saying I like them, but if you say, hey, they don't have any rights, well, you're basically saying I don't have any rights either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was Chris Ann, not Ruth Ann.
Ruth Ann.
I said Ruth Ann.
Well, nobody does. I don't like it. But you can't say, hey, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to take away all the person's rights away who grows marijuana, because what you're saying is I'm going to take all my rights away with his.
Yeah, because...
No, no. What I'm saying is, like, in Colorado...
Yeah?
According to what I read something in my Newsmax the other day about Colorado and the problems they've been having there with this young people and the overuse of... the legal marijuana.
Well, we have problems all over the place with people drinking too much and young people getting drunk too much. So does that mean that we throw due process out as well?
But if you listen to
absolutely not.
Chris Ann, it isn't the marijuana that they're going after. They're going after the plant.
And then
that plant becomes your garden. That becomes your tomato plants. That becomes everything. Then they start incorporating that into all of our lives.
The only thing that will turn it around is when public opinion decides that this is stupid. And so you're not going to stop it. So you can't take the federal government is just using it as a pry bar to take everybody's rights away.
Yep.
That's the whole point of the thing. You know, that doesn't mean that marijuana is good, but getting drunk isn't good either. But did we stop it with prohibition? No, we've made it worse.
No, absolutely not. No. Yeah. I what I hear all this is going on is Agenda 21.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, right there.
You're right. This is all.
Nobody believes in it. I've mentioned it to some people. They look at me like a deer in the headlights.
Well, you know, what's coming down is, and we're right in the middle of, is a global collapse of our economies. The British pound collapsed right after the Brexit, the Venezuela, all over the place. This is all related because that's why they're preparing for civil unrest, because this collapse that is happening is causing a lot of these problems. It's causing most of the crime in the area because these people have no place to work. You know, there's no tax money coming in. You got the overbloated government taking all of the tax money and putting it wherever they want. Well, this whole thing is starting to unwind, so we've got to look to each other to solve the problem and form the groups, you know, like the guys down Cottonwood, so that we can protect ourselves until this thing blows over and we start implementing the Constitution as originally intended, which means getting those guys out of City Hall that don't care about the Constitution, getting those county supervisors out of the county supervisor elections to put in guys that believe in the Constitution, believe in patriotism, that believe that we are a free people and are able to govern ourselves.
And our governor, too.
And that's until enough people stand up with that in mind, we're just going to keep getting more of what we've been getting.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is the non-elected officials, the city managers, et cetera. I mean, there's a lot of non-elected officials that can be as tyrannical, and probably more so. I mean, city council people are basically part-time.
Right.
It's the staffs that in these cities that are creating the problems.
You know, no matter what anybody says about Donald Trump, he's the exact bombastic guy that we need to go in and start firing everybody. You know, we have to do it on our level. We have the responsibility of not complying, cutting them off at the pocketbook, and doing all that. But you've also got to get guys in there that are going to unwind some of this crap. You know, firing these people. I mean, you know, getting rid of these staffers and these lifers that are entrenched in government like ticks, you know, at whatever level, whether it's the local, state, or federal level. These guys are running the show, you know, and then you got to get the bankers, and that's what's happening right now around the world, is the banking industries are collapsing because I've got a, you know, epic collapse I'm looking at of Deutsche Bank in Germany, and that's, you know, just the start of it. It's starting to happen. The British pound,
all over the world, and until this whole thing plays out and we educate ourselves enough to understand what the answers are instead of all this bubblegum for our ears that we keep hearing, you know, the blacks against the whites, the gays against straight and all this other crap, we need to start implementing the Constitution the way it was intended, and then we'll start fixing it.
You know, if you haven't seen The Free State of Jones yet, it's an amazing movie. There's a part in it that's very interesting, and it talks about basically a runaway slave who ran away from his master, got away, got captured, ran away again, got whipped and captured, ran away again, got whipped and captured, ran away again, and stayed away.
Right.
And then it had a gentleman who was calling out this particular slave, and he was calling him out and saying, basically, you don't have the right to be here with us, da-da-da-da-da. Well, he was told by the hero of the story that basically the slave ran away from his master. You're still obeying yours.
Right. It's true.
Not only that, but you're serving him and dying in a war for him.
This
was during the Civil War.
Yeah, it's true. So, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like human nature is that it's got to get really bad before the best of what makes us humans comes out, the morality, the things that are the best in people. You find that in the worst of situations, and unfortunately, I guess that's what has to happen. Is in order for the best of us to come out, it has to get ugly.
Anyway, thank you guys for the program you do. I'll get off here now, and thank you so much for what you did. Great show, you two, on with Chris Ann. That was quite good. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for calling in.
All right.
Are you still with us, Star?
Yeah, I have a question,
okay. And
I need to get this straight in my head. You know, what's going on now, what's been going on since Barack Obama became our president, he has been very racist, and he has not supported people that, you know, how can I say this? What I see going on is the more, like, the Black Panthers have come back, and they haven't been around since the 60s. We've got this Black Lives Matter group. And there's other groups out there. Louis Farrakhan made a statement yesterday, something about, you know, get your guns and go get them. I'm just paraphrasing. I was wondering if Obama is trying to allow our country to go into anarchy, and if he was an anarchy, there wouldn't be an election and he would remain president.
Well, that could be the possibility, but also, see, you're seeing one side of the story. I'm seeing more and more and more Black people come out saying that we've got to stop the division and we've got to constitute Americans. And you're seeing more and more because we're only getting one side from the mainstream media. We're only getting the worst stuff. So I think that we're going to have to come together as a people. Can he do that? Well, he might even be trying. I don't think at this point that it's going to work. Because even if that's the case, nobody's buying it anymore.
Well, the thing is there's so many Black people who are good people. They're not like him.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not like him. They're Americans. They're hardworking Americans. They go to church. They raise good families. You know, they don't have prejudice. And the problem is you never see the average on the news. You don't see that.
You see it
on a Christian station, or you read it in a Christian magazine, or
get on the internet. It's starting to become more and more.
It's showing up more and more.
On Facebook, there was a policeman from Dallas was on yesterday.
Yeah.
And I just have one thing here, and then I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Samuel Adams said, "If ever a time should come when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will stand in need of its experienced patriots to prevent its ruin."
Yep, it's true. And the patriots are starting to form more and more. Look at you wouldn't even have the state of Jefferson if it wasn't true.
Yep. See, and the thing is what gets me is that these old guys, it's just like they could see into the future.
Yep, it's true.
Yeah.
Because some of these are timeless principles. It's timeless principles that the government always tries to control the people. It's the nature of government has always been man's worst enemy since the beginning of time. People want to ignore that because we had a government that was set up for the benefit of the people for the first time in history on moral principles. But prior to that, it was always bad. I mean, who sent you to war? Look at Rome. I mean, Roman went around conquering everybody. everybody. You know, look at all of the big empires. It was all about putting more power in the hands of the king and the tyrants.
And like Chris Ann said, the moral peace.
Right.
That's what it comes down to, is the moral peace.
There you have
we
it.
Have to have the moral in order for it to work. If we don't have that, we have nothing.
That's why liberty is freedom with morality, and that's what we're talking about. It's not just freedom to go do whatever you want. You have to have some kind of morals involved in that in order to respect your neighbor, respect your neighbor's property rights. It's the old golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. If everybody would follow that, we wouldn't even have a problem.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what color you are, what race you are. It doesn't matter. Morals or morals. And, Dar, I think a lot more people, like you say, with the black community, they're standing up because
they're starting to absolutely stand up more and more and more.
The moral piece.
Well, we all bleed red. Bleed red. And if I had a transfusion from another race, if I needed it, I'd take it.
There you go.
You know? Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate that.
I sent you a clip over there about the British pound collapse versus silver and gold after the Brexit from Mike Maloney. Maybe you can pull that up and we'll play that. We got about 15 minutes.
We probably need to go to a break, huh, Bob?
Yeah. And then we'll come back with that.
It's been a great conversation with the call-ins, everybody. The number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
You want to know what State of Jefferson will look like? You decide.
July 23rd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1179 Eager Road in Live Oak at the Church of Glad Tidings.
Join your neighbors for the first Jefferson Formation Assembly. Represent your county. Leave your fingerprint on the free state.
July 23rd, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1179 Eager Road in Live Oak at the Church of Glad Tidings. Register now at soj51.net.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Scarborough Fair, the Gothard Sisters, just in case you were wondering.
This is Sovereign Minds on NPR.
There, yeah. You know, we're talking about the epic collapse of the banking system, and that's what's coming. The big banks, according to the Wall Street Journal, took a blood path this last week. Losses nearly $500 billion. The number one reason that you need to buy gold and silver is not what you think. The number one reason to buy physical gold and silver, bar none, is the current global currency rot. We've had a lot of people say, hey, you can't eat gold and silver, and try a salad full of Federal Reserve notes that are worthless. What you have to understand is the true value of gold and silver is defined by its weight in grams or troy ounces. So try going to the store with worthless money. That's the real reason that you want gold and silver, is because it never becomes worthless. It's always valuable as a trading commodity, no matter what. And that's why when you see collapses like these, that you're starting to see the rise in the gold and silver in epic proportions, because people are running into it for safe haven, so that their worthless fiat rotting currency worldwide is not the place that you want to be holding any kind of buying power or trading power. Because when you go to the store and you got a $1 trillion note from Zimbabwe, they don't really care. Go to the store with a half ounce of gold, and guess what? People start turning their heads going, wow, that's actually still worth something.
Yeah.
Just in case you wanted to know. So let's go ahead and make that announcement to the person who's trying to find for Chris Ann Hall.
Yeah, for books and stuff. If you go down to the library, if they don't have it there and you request it, they will bring it in free for you. So in the future, for that or any book that has to do with anything that you're looking for, if they're not carrying it, they will bring it in to you, and then you can use it
now,
and return it, and somebody else can actually check it out and get the information.
Very
so that
good.
Would be good.
Very good. Now, this comes from the BBC. This is I like to refer to them as Deutsche Bank, but I think it's Deutsche Bank, is the world's most dangerous bank. Now, the IMF said this last week that of the big banks enough to bring down the financial system crashing down, Deutsche Bank was the riskiest. Not only that Deutsche Bank's U.S. unit was one of the only 2 of 33 banks to fail the test of financial strength set by the U.S. central banks earlier this year. So what's happening, remember
2008 being a banking crisis? Remember Lehman Brothers? Well, Deutsche Bank is epically collapsing right now. Go to, you can go to and chart it if you want, the epic collapse of the Deutsche Bank. That's what caused the financial system to go down back in 2008. It was a banking crisis that was shored up by the governments. The governments are now in such sad shape, they cannot shore it up. Now, this is the IMF.
They can't bail them out.
They can't bail them out. And so go ahead and play this Mike Maloney clip, and this explains to you in a little better terms why you want to not be in fiat dollars at some point in the real near future, because what happens is these valuations, these revaluations happen very quickly, and they can happen overnight, and you can lose a huge amount of your buying power really quickly. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, this is Mike Maloney, and I want to talk with you about what was probably the best trade of this year. The pound sterling began the year at over $1.47 per British pound, and it just closed as of July 6th. It closed at about $1.29 per British pound. So the international purchasing power, the value of the British pound internationally, has fallen dramatically. However, if you take a look at gold, gold began the year at about 1,060 and it's up over 1,360, 1,365. But it's when you take a look at it in terms of British pounds that things really get exciting. Take a look at this enormous move in just the past few weeks here. This is what I call an overnight revaluation. People went to bed one night and woke up the next morning either wealthier or poorer. But if you look at the trend of this chart, and especially this performance in just the past couple weeks, gold in British pound terms began the year at £719.70 and closed on July 6th at £1,058.04 for a total 47% increase. Now that gets even more exciting when we take a look at silver, which went from under $14 to over $20 in the same time period, and when you take a look at it in British pounds, the scale of the move over the past couple of weeks has just been enormous. And silver's total performance in British pound terms has gone from £9.39 to £15.59 for a total 66% return. Now, if you take two people, person A and person B, and person A took 100,000 pounds and went into a coin shop and bought half gold and half silver on January 1st of 2016. And person B left their British pounds deposited in the bank. Person A, their precious metals would now be worth 156,500 pounds, where person B, the purchasing power of their pounds would be equivalent to 87,720 January 1st British pounds. So that's the loss in purchasing power. And the difference here is enormous. Person A now has 78.4% more purchasing power than person B just since January 1st of 2016. So this is that I've spoken about this in several of my videos before. This is the overnight revaluation that I'm talking about. And this has happened, you know, in one direction or another. It happened recently, just a couple of years ago, with the Swiss franc. It happened back in 1934 with the U.S. dollar. You go to bed one night and wake up the next morning and your world has changed. It happened just recently now with the British pound, and this wealth transfer can either be lightning fast, like this overnight revaluation, but it is also something that is slow and insidious and happens over the years. There is no currency that is up against gold or silver if you measure it from the year 1900 or from the year 1913 when the Federal Reserve went into business, or for the past 50 years, or if you measure it for just this century. All currencies on the planet have fallen against gold and silver. So if you found this video informative, please like it and share it, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much. This video was brought to you by GoldSilver.com.
I'm proud to say we've been one of the most trusted dealers for over.
Yeah. So anyway, now that is one way that you lose your value. The other way is what happens when the banking crisis gets really ugly, like Lehman Brothers, and they shut down your ability to access your banks. They shut down your ability to access your accounts, and your credit cards no, and your ATMs no longer work while they're devaluing this exponentially.
Yeah. And they tell you, no, sorry.
See, what people don't understand is it's a safe haven from all this other crap that starts to happen. And the people that wait till the last minute to try to say, well, we'll have plenty of time, you know, to do this, don't realize that it happens so quickly that that you won't have time to do anything when it really gets bad.
Yeah, like you said, it happened overnight. I mean, you go to sleep, you wake up, and it's already done.
So the real reason is that these hold their value, these metals hold their value worldwide in any kind of a crisis. We're down to 1 minute, and are we in a crisis? Is our economies going down the tube? Look at the world. Just do a little Googling, do a little searching, and you're going to find that we are now in the middle of this crisis. It hasn't been reported much by the mainstream, and it won't until it actually occurs so that you can send it on. Remember 08? It was like overnight. All of a sudden, hey, we're in the middle of a crisis. Well, we're already there. They're just not telling us about it on mainstream news yet.
Not yet.
So anyway, I think that's the end of the show here, and hopefully we got some information out there that, you know, people can understand why we're pounding
and
the drum.
And you might want to go back and listen to the hour with Chris Van Hall, because there was a lot of good information going there. So it may take a little bit to dissect it and absorb it all.
There you have it. So I think we're going to hear the music here anytime now.
Yeah, and you've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties, liberty over security, and truth above lies. Thank you very much for listening. You're KCNR1460.com.
KCNR Shaster Redding.
At the memorial.
He's 5 years old, and he's intrigued with law enforcement. He wants to be a cop one day. So he's kind of confused right now on, I thought cops were good guys. Why somebody killing them?
Meanwhile, a vehicle struck a Dallas police car overnight, parked outside the home of one of the five officers killed. Fort Worth police say they're investigating whether the crash was an accident or deliberate, and they're trying to locate the vehicle which sped away. President Obama visiting a military base in Spain that supports U.S. and NATO forces.
Not only are we allies, but we are also two countries.